the Housing Authority of the City of Austin Board of Commissioners meeting, the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation Board of Directors meeting, and the Austin Affordable PFCP Board of Directors meeting. Mr. Kirby, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Daley?
Here.
Commissioner Dr. Hall?
Present.
Commissioner Carrington?
Present.
Commissioner Stover?
Present.
Chairman Ritchie?
Present.
There's a quorum for all minutes.
All right, so we're officially called to order at 12:29 p.m. With that, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I can just sit here. This is fine for me.
Okay. Stand up, Mary.
Because I'm disabled, I was born with a club foot.
Okay.
My left hip off.
All right.
Okay, and can you tell me when to start with 3 minutes? And I'd appreciate it if nobody interrupts me in the middle of the 3 minutes.
All right. Begin now.
Okay. I live at Gaston Apartments, and I'm coming to ask you to see if you can get the automatic withdrawal system for rent back for our apartments. I was charged $841 when it came time to recertify this year for my rent for mistakes that were made with the finance department at HACA and RAD. $840 is a lot for me. And I need to pay exactly the amount of my rent once a month into the system and have it on my debit sheet every time to be the same. Because it really messed me up. And it happened to a lot of people at Austin and at Gaston. It happened to a lot of our residents. They paid their deposits, and then they were called in and said they never paid the deposit. So this is pretty scary for our residents. Now they're paying it off on a plan. The second thing I need to suggest is if you could make sure that the HACA board meetings and the citywide board meetings are on the HACANet calendar. So all I have to do once a month is HACANet.org, click calendar, and ta-da, there it is. I clicked the date, and I really appreciated when you were talking about getting the map and other materials on the smartphone because it wasn't a new age. The third thing is there's some kind of a fire alarm box in the lobby that turned on all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday, which was Columbus Day. If I call the fire department, they will come over and turn it off, but they're not very happy about it. HACA maintenance will not show up. So our residents and guests and family who walk through the lobby hear this all day long. Are you ready? Beep! Non-stop. Non-stop all day. We have disabled people. We have marginal and vulnerable community living at Gaston. And my disability is PTSD and depression, okay? I'm a victim of profound crime abuse in my family. My dad delivered the Grassy Knoll bullets to D.C. 10 days after Kennedy was shot for the CIA. Trump is going to Dallas to the American Airlines Center today as a statement that the intelligence community has to take credit for what happened to JFK and not try to create something else to take the focus off of it. And so I'm responsible to make sure that Trump is not assassinated, okay, by the CIA. And I've got the CIA document, FBI document, with my dad's employment number on it. And I'll be darned if I'm going to walk out of my apartment all week in long and all I hear is, beep, after watching the United States Congress Oversight Committee with the Honorable Elijah Cummings on there talking about facial recognition in real time in Detroit and San Francisco, and then I feel like I'm responsible for everybody being disrupted for the whole weekend, and I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. That's the kind of stuff you can't talk about it. I've been working on this for 5 years. You can ask Millard, and you can ask Michael Roth and Mr. Gerber. And Rick Perry went to the Ukraine. And I'm having to come out of my apartment thinking like, oh gosh, it's deep state, shadow government, new world order. And y'all need to be aware of the security issue of this going on right now. You have somebody at Gaston. I don't want to lose my housing over it, but I'll be darned if I'm going to sit around and watch another president of the United States get assassinated.
Right. Well, your 3 minutes has just expired.
Okay.
We appreciate your comments. The issues regarding automatic deposits, the fire alarm, or the is it a fire alarm?
Mr. Teasdale can explain it better than I.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying all the issues that you have brought up, we have heard you, and the staff will address it.
You will. Okay, you will keep our residents at Gaston safe.
Yes, we're committed to doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak or who has not signed up? Seeing none, we will close the public citizens comment period, and we'll go into the public hearing on the proposal for Ventura at Palmer Lane.
Yes, this you've previously seen this project on May 23rd for the inducement resolution and the tax credit application resolution. Now we're getting closer to the closing date. This one is in the Austin ETJ, off of Parma, and we've been approached by lots of people, developers, that are, you know, the Parma Lane area is really starting to build up around there. So that's why we're excited to get in there now before it gets too pricey to purchase. This is a 216-unit family property. All the units will be for people with 60% AMI and below. And it looks like we are shooting for a January 2020 close. And you will see this one more time to sign or to approve final resolutions.
So this is a required public hearing on this property, and so we're again, we'll be coming back to the board. We'll provide you further information at a later point. But are there no more questions? We would open it up to the public to ask questions.
Maybe I'm blanked out, but who is our development partner?
Marine Dominium.
Okay.
It's the first one that we're doing with them. And we have other ones that we have purchased that were already built, but this is the first one.
New construction. Okay, thank you.
And they were able to give me kind of the site plan layout of what the buildings will look like. It's pretty large tract of land, so there will be quite a bit of green space. And then this is what the children's school is going to
be. Mr. Chairman, may I ask if there's any members of the public would like to offer comments on this project? Going once.
I have a question. Yes, sir. Could you put the picture up of where it is? From here, you can't tell anything. What are the yellow roads?
Manor Expressway here.
Who's asking to identify himself?
Sir, why don't you come forward and Bill, if you don't mind, we'll just sort of trade that spot.
So if you would say your name so we get on the record.
My name is Alex Dudersel, and I'll have to get closer to the map.
So it's at the intersection.
So it's on the north side of Palmer?
No, it's the south side of it.
Well, this is Palmer.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's on the east or the west side.
What's see? That? Okay, it's on the west side.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, is that half mile?
So we're just taking public comment on the project. We can give you more detailed information separately, but if you want to comment, it's not really a back and forth kind of thing.
I got you.
If there's any comment you'd like to give on the project, we'd be glad to take that down. Okay. Ron and Suzanne would be glad to be with you afterwards. Any other public comment on the project, for, against, or general statement? Okay. Mr. Duderstein, again, Suzanne and Ron would be glad to visit with you afterwards and tell you exactly where the project is. That said, okay, Mr. Chairman, we'll close it.
Would you flash back to, yeah. So it's really bordering State Highway 130, correct?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, it's not on Palmer, but it's State Highway
130. And Ron, what's this road here on the left side? Is that Farmer?
Yes, yeah, Farmer.
So it's on the east side of Farmer?
East Farmer, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be on the east side.
It looks like
Farmer's going north, and 130 is going east.
Yeah, that corner, the northeast corner, that is it.
I think I've asked this before. There's nothing much out there right now, is it?
Right now, there's more like single family residences, but there's not a lot of multi-family yet. But there is a lot of like office buildings and retail centers that are slated to
run. It's pretty close to 290, is that what I saw?
Yeah.
Yep.
Or is that the same thing as Main?
So, this is 290. Yeah, okay. Going toward the airport right here.
Yeah.
You want Main that way, and so it's right here.
And you're going to Georgetown the other way.
Yeah.
On 135.
So, yeah, you're going toward Georgetown this way.
But the picture, that picture is different. Okay. This is 130.
It kind of flips.
It's really hard, you know, addresses are, it's really hard on this because the project is so new, you've got to wait for addresses to be officially given to you, and so that was the best, you know, the best we can, you know, from the map for purposes to show you a pin.
But it should look like 130 and Parlor. So go back to the other map.
Here's one.
So here's 130 and Parlor. So it's got
so right. 130.
Right.
So it's really right at this intersection, yeah. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
And it's such a large tract, that's why.
There's a tremendous amount of activity planned. Again, think about this being done in two and a half years, maybe, from now.
Well, that was my question. I'm sure all up and down, one-third is all kind of stuff. But right now, there's not much out there.
Correct. And so when we bring this deal to you for subsequent times, we'll have some, like we tried to do, we'll some future development. So you can see the state law requirement of
yeah.
Today.
The sole purpose is to solicit commentary.
And it's about 2.5 years out.
Yeah, we're estimating closing in January if permits come in. And so it'll be at least a 2-year construction
phase. So this is under City's ETJ?
Yes, sir.
So you don't have to worry about as many permitting issues, zoning issues?
Maybe not zoning, but the permitting I hear is kind of hard.
Who provides the water up there? Is it Manville?
City of Austin, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that's City of Austin. I'm City of Austin.
That's what I was thinking.
There's no other public comment, then we'll close the public hearing and we'll bring it back to the board with fuller information about locations and specific stuff, the transaction lenders and all those details. That comes back probably December?
It'll be December.
December, right. Next item, Mr. Chairman, is the Citywide Advisory Board update and Police Department. This is here to provide a feedback.
Meeting was called to order at 10:04 a.m. by myself, Felicia Vargas,
We have Speaker Dominica Foster with Austin Eric Urban Lee stated that she will start the pathway to career on Monday, October the 14th at AAUL. Ms. Pilar Sanchez provided draft updates. Mike Gerber mentioned staffing changes at Hawker. Pilar Sanchez will serve as an active vice president of community development. Cecilia Blanca will continue to serve as the chief operations officer, as well as oversee housing operations. Mike invited residents to Chalmers South grand opening on November the 7th. Tracy Yetter provided digital inclusion update. And we also had error reports. The following was provided: error reports, Thelma at North Loop, Floyd at North Gate, Hannah Davis at Bowden, and Jesse at Gaston. Hawker Community Development Announcement, Liliana mentioned the update standards and procedures for Turkey District. Leilani congratulates the resident council for a well-organized national night out on October the 1st across all of the properties. Marjorie Rowland shares updates for Job Plus, Workforce Development, and IDAD. Property 5 people provided property updates. New business, Evelyn Holman provided potential location for 2020. Citywide Advisory Board calendar. Myself, Felicia Vargas, appointed Lucy Garcia as a new Citywide Advisory Secretary. And meeting was adjourned at 11:45 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And this is your first visit to this property?
Yeah, I like it. I look forward to going back because I talk to some of them. They know when I'm coming to the board because sometimes it's on the calendar. So they always give me something to talk about. This time I have something to talk about. This is a good feeling. It's an awesome feeling, and on behalf of myself and other people that are on housing, I think y'all do a great job. It's because of you guys that make us motivated every day and want to be good in life and make us feel comfortable. So thank you guys very much for making us residents feel comfortable, like we belong, like we're not less than other people, and making us feel like we belong like everyone else. So thank you so much. For everybody that's living in this apartment, I'm so happy for them. I like my apartment, though. I just got older since I've been there. So. It's like it's more go. I like it, and then I like the job that I do every month because I've been doing it since. It took me a while when I first started on the board. I wasn't comfortable about being around people. Because of the things I've been through as far as abuse and being treated badly. But because of Hawker, one day this guy, Ben, knocked on my door and he made me feel different. So I'm able to come out with people now and I like it. I like being around people. I like motivating people. And I just wait on the day that God can lead me to do more than what I'm doing with what he gave me. Because I know I can do it better.
Hard. I know it's made everybody's day, so no matter how their week has been, you have just lifted us all up, and that's
what life's all about. So, I'm going to go home and think I'm the wearer, man. I love y'all with all my heart. Thank y'all, and I look forward to growing.
Well,
and
sure
when I first started, I was really scared to talk. So I think I can get better, and I'm watching, and I'm learning, and I'm paying attention.
Very, very. bring your team on the set. We'd be honored to have the citywide advisory board here for the grand opening. So I hope you have a good time.
And thank you very much. I don't mean to leave, but some of this stuff don't really matter.
No.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda for the racial presentation is the housing choice voucher, the credit finance, and then after that we'll have a Lisa. And then after that we'll have Kelly, I believe, is presenting the presentation and discussion of the draft 2020 Public Housing Authority annual plan as well as the 5-year plan. So we'll go to Lisa first and then we'll go with Kelly.
Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good afternoon.
So this is our annual review of housing choice voucher administrative plan, and we sort of take a look at it and see what changes have happened throughout the year, regulatory changes, and also changes that help us to better administer the program locally. We're not asking for any action today. We're just asking to review the changes and making comments or suggestions. And we're going to go out for public comment for 30 days tomorrow. And then we'll bring it back to the board in the December 19th board meeting for approval. I can highlight a few of the changes. I included those in Exhibit 1 and also in Exhibit 2. And I'll just go through a few of those. And we feel free to ask any questions that you might have.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask in the future if we can just have kind of I went through it to identify and help you with the highlighting portion of it. I was thinking it might be a little bit easier if it was like in the
Okay, we'll do that. Would you all like me to go through some of the changes that were done?
Why don't you say just hit the highlights?
Okay.
What do you think is the most salient thing that you need to know?
Okay. So, just a few of the high points, I would say one of them was in the pages 435 through 436, we added the selection criteria for pathways for Chalmers Court East. We're going to have 50 project-based vouchers, which includes 8 DAS vouchers, and then also we're going to have 8 project-based vouchers at Cameron, East Riverside, and we have to just put in what is the selection criteria going to be when we start bringing folks in. And what we put that in there as a summary is just we're going to go ahead and have people taken from the housing choice voucher wait list, and they'll have an opportunity, if they'd like to live at one of the properties for the project-based voucher. If we're not able to get enough folks that are interested from the regular housing choice voucher wait list, then those properties could refer directly to be added to the wait list. But more than likely, we'll get about 1,900 on the wait list right now. In terms of the selection criteria, in terms of getting into the properties, we follow the kind of selection criteria. We have to meet that screening criteria. So that's one of the things. We did a few other changes just in terms of administratively things that we find during the year in terms of families. For instance, one of them was in some cases, families are requesting a change kind of household in order to pass the voucher down to another family member, let's say if they get married. So we put something in there that says if a head of house is trying to change a head of household to circumvent going through the waiting list, we could make an option to deny that change. We extended the initial voucher term right now. We do a 90 days. When we first issue out a voucher, we're extending that to 120 days. Just because it's really hard for folks to find housing in Austin. We can give an additional 30 days with a reasonable accommodation, but it just that helps without the administrative burden of having to do all these extensions, just gives us straight money for the straight we put in something that we could, if we opted to charge a fee for reinspections when we go out to do a reinspection of a property and it's not fixed. I don't know if we'll execute that, but we just want to have that option. Toby said we would never do that, but if you want to have that option with owners, if you go out there to a reinspection, it's still not fixed. If you wanted to charge a fee, we could do that. You're allowed to under the regulation. We also put in a, with regards to increases in rent, owners request multiple increases in rent throughout the year.
which after the first year of the lease, which is very administratively burdensome, as well as it costs a lot of money, it really increases our lease. So we put something in there where the lease is translated to this request up to 1 a year, and then we would process that change and put the procedures in place for that.
So let me ask you a question. So, so when I signed a lease, I signed it for a monthly amount for 12 months that it was in my house. But they didn't have the ability to come back. We locked in to a contract. So I guess that's what I'm kind of getting to. We locked in to a contract for 12 months where the lease is property to about your home. And how did they come back?
So after the first, yes, good question. So after the first year of the lease, after that, you don't have to, they don't have to necessarily negotiate another year's lease. They could just, it would hold whatever the term
is. So it's a month. Basically, after the first year, it's a month to month. Is that standard with all, with the apartment association, for all apartments around the city? They all have, they lock in for a year, and after that,
yeah, in most cases, but some owners do execute another lease. Okay. It just varies, but we were just
standard TA lease works that way.
Yes, so generally.
What do you mean by that?
So you don't want to, you don't have too many once you get past the first year. And when I was in college, we always worried about breaking our lease and losing something. You don't have that problem anymore after the year?
Well, in some cases, you know, they do want to move after the year. So it's really after that first year they can negotiate with like owner. We do want to sign another 4 years lease, but it's really up to the owner and the tenant to negotiate what they want to do that next year. They could decide to just do continue with the 30-day, month to month. So it's really up to them to negotiate what they want to do. Because it's very with tenant thing, where rules apply, we can't like say you all have to sign another new lease or can't really enforce that.
What happens if they go away? And so our voucher, whereas if I've been paying for a certain percentage, now drops to 50%, 40%.
So, and that does happen right now.
Yeah, it does.
So, at the end of the first year term, the owner can request a rent increase with a 60-day notice. And then we do what's called a rent comparability study, and we look at what other unassisted units are going for the market. And then we have to approve that rent increase. But what we're seeing in the market, a lot of times, the rents are going up to that amount. And then in some cases, families will have to make a decision if they can afford that additional increase or if they are going to be moved. You will step in some cases and, you know, just work with the owner and say, hey, this person's been here a long time, could you just, you know, keep it lower. And so we'll do those kinds of negotiations, but in some cases, folks, what we're seeing is our having to make decisions to move to more affordable places, like in this for awesome affordable housing, a lot of the property we have. But we are seeing that, especially where families have lived in areas, you know, East Austin is a perfect example, where rents were a lot lower than when a new owner might take over and increase the rent and the taxes, then they pay the taxes, so that does happen.
Can we give, is there any such thing as an amendment
about it? Yeah, it's a reasonable accommodation for a person with a disability. We can go up to 120% of the published fair market rents. And we will do that. And, you know, we set our FMRs, and it's all probably coming soon as well. In general, we've been setting 100% of the FMRs. They're going to go up between 3% and 5% this year. And we will make that accommodation for folks that can get to see.
That's a great question. But it's limited to only people with disabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
trying to address now is that you may have landlords who will come to you and they will go increase the rent, try to increase it 2 or 4 times within the same county.
Okay. And how long do they, when we accept them into the Section 8 program, for how long?
But in terms of
the landlord?
The landlord.
So once they agree to volunteer and participate and start taking our residents and the vouchers, is there a time when, as long as they continue
to... As long as they choose to be a part of the program, they remain in the program as long as they're...
It's a voluntary program.
It's a voluntary program. So they can choose to opt out at any time. Like they could decide, which we do have, the new owner takes over, they buy a piece of property, they might decide, we decided, we're not longer going to accept the name, and they can be noticed and people have to move. And then after we step in, we try to negotiate with them, let them know it's good, and stick with it.
That comment was only for luxury purposes only.
The only other thing is we added something with regards to with the annual email appointments. I added something where it says we can be flexible to conduct them in person by mail or through an online certification process. Currently, the majority of them we do in person. We do go out and we'll do home visits for particular facilities and we'll do some by mail. And we are introducing a streamlined certification process that will be starting in November, and we'll be able to do some online with the certification process. We'll probably still meet with folks. We'd like to have that face-to-face contact, but this gives us the option and the flexibility and the more efficiency with the premium.
There's no edits from the board, or just changes from the board, but we'll take this out for 30 days comment and be ready back to y'all in December.
Yeah, the only thing I would do is you did a really good job in terms of the narrative. Some of you can just add that. I think it would be fine.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, before we go to Kelly, if you're going to, we've heard that there's several folks who have been waiting, who I think Kansas Davis wrapping up earlier. Would you mind if we jump to the presentation on the property real fast? We've been property staff doing their point rounds.
Yeah.
Great. So Will Henderson is here from Carlton. Steve Sibyl from Carlton Construction. They're a huge hand in building. It's a beautiful building. Marlon Nixon is the property manager. Why don't you guys come on forward? Carol serves as our leasing agent assistant manager, and then Sylvester is our maintenance crew here. And sir, I'm sorry, I forget your name.
I'm Ron McCarty. I'm the Carlton management and regional manager.
Nice to see you, Ron.
Thank you.
Will, do you want to say a word or Marlon?
I think DeMarlon's going to do the bulk of it. Just want to say welcome to Chalmers South. It's the first of a couple of phases we're going to have here, so I hope you like what you see here. A lot of time and planning with the staff went into, this is the culmination, talk about the deal Suzanne's in 2.5 years, so this started in 2016, so this is kind of the culmination of that, or the first step, with hopefully several more to come. We've got a great staff here on site for you. I think they're going to run a property here that you're real proud of, have your residents relocate to time and again. So, again, quite a few of your residents are going to come through here in the next few years, and we think the staff is going to do a great job taking care of them.
Excellent.
So, Phil, would you mind being a southern gentleman and moving your seat to the young lady, Marlon, and the mayor, if you can forget her name?
Carol.
Would you mind coming in?
DeMarlon Nixon, property manager for Chalmers South. First, I want to just say I'm glad that you all chose Chalmers South to have this board meeting. We're excited for all that's taking place. beautiful property that it is. I hope you all do it soon. We're doing pretty good. The transfer is over from Chalmers East to Chalmers South. I've gone pretty smoothly. Right now, we're currently about 73% occupied, 63 units occupied, 23 that are vacant. We have two pre-leases and we're working four applications. So things are going pretty smooth.
That's a record number of transfers. Normally, you would hit 73% probably for several months.
Several months, right.
And we're, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. We love it. And then this is our system manager, Carol Martinez.
My name is Carol Martinez. I am the system manager for quality management. So this is pretty much my first property managing. And it's been pretty amazing to see these residents transfer from that East Chalmers to a new South Chalmers. And getting to know each and every one of them is awesome. And I hope to see more bases like from south, from west also. I'm really excited for the new things to come.
So where are you two from?
I am originally from Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I've been in Austin for 7 years now.
Okay, so you've been in Austin, have you always been with Carlton or were you with somebody else?
I was with someone else.
Okay, and who was that?
I was with a company called Sage.
Okay.
I'm there from out of California.
Okay. And you, Carol?
I am from Laredo, Texas, and I originally was with a pulmonologist doctor before this project. I came to Austin maybe 4 months ago. Somebody in Austin, 4 months ago.
Welcome to Austin.
Thank you.
All right.
Sylvester, you have
it? Well, I'm Sylvester Dove. I'm from Texas.
Say
hi.
I
don't like Austin.
No, where are you from?
Houston.
Kind of like Archibald.
Houston, Texas.
That's what I was thinking
about.
That's
you
probably don't know who Archibald was.
Archibald the running back?
No.
I'm the
Archibald.
Archibald is
really
the R&B group back in the day.
Oh, wow. No, I
don't remember him. You remember called Tighten Up?
Oh, yeah.
That's Archibald. They're from Houston.
Oh!
You heard it right along?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that a lot of the recordings that Ray Charles did, you were like in Texas?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, I understand that.
If you're talking to two guys who went to law school in Houston and been there for a while. So
TSU?
I went to TSU grad school and TSU Ray's law school in Houston.
Thank you much.
Law school.
Well, I've been. This is a different situation for me as far as maintenance wise go, and I love it. I love the residents. These kids, when they transitioned over here and they saw their apartment, the smile on their face, words cannot express the emotion that I had looking at those, residents coming in. And they take pride in this place, and they're keeping it up. They help me keep it. And so I enjoy it, and I just can't wait to see how further we're going to go with it.
I can tell how enthusiastic you are, because unfortunately, when I got out of my car, you were the first person I greeted at the property, and I was giving you trash. So you decided that you thanked me for bringing it to you.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of easy. I know you're enthusiastic about your job in terms of the maintenance, the upkeep, and I certainly appreciate that. It's, I actually lived in public housing as a kid, and one of my first jobs in the summer program, you probably never heard of this, but it's called the CETA program. It was the forerunner to JTPL, the Job Training Partnership Act, and I actually worked at the Public Housing Authority as a maintenance staff.
Oh, really?
So I learned how to run a buffer. Mm-hmm. And had to use a lawnmower and a lot of other tools that I learned sometime afterwards I probably shouldn't have been using it. I was only 13 and you needed to be 15.
You learned how to get on those buffers and go up and down the hallway.
I did. Well, it was not going up down the hallways in the units, which was, it was turning, getting the units make ready for the next time. I was kind of easy. So I can appreciate what you do. Yes, Mary?
Yes. I would like to say, since I've met these three wonderful people since I've met here, they are just super. I always see him every morning, and he's just as enthusiastic as he is right now, every single day. And Carol, I've been to her office many, many times. The Marlins, they're always available. And they're approachable, and they're nice, and they're doing a great job. And I appreciate that.
That's great.
Rod, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Ron McCarty. I'm the regional property manager of the property. I'm honored to have this crew. It's a great crew. They're very dedicated. I've been doing this business for many years. I've been doing the affordable part since 1993. We worked together to get this project going. There was a lot of paperwork that had to happen in a short period of time. And they were able to get that paperwork together. Our compliance team was able to pass it through and get it done so we can make these moves in time. So I like to give them the credit and compliance for that. You know, my work of the job is starting now that the project is open. So I'll be down here more often, and I look forward to making sure that we provide the home the residents deserve here.
Thank you. I'd like to just mention that Steve Sibbles is here, and Steve has done an incredible job with leading the construction team here, and will be taking the lead in our efforts at Chalmers South. Steve, thanks from all of us, and maybe you want to
add your work. It's been a pleasure working with the council team. They've been very gracious, top to bottom, as we go through the process. It's an imperfect process at best, and so. Thanks for your
graciousness and work with us every step of the way. I'll brag on Steve for a second. This is a sign of how confident we've been in the information he's given us and how he's conducted his business. We've had some other challenges at other places. Steve's been kind enough to, you know, for those of us who don't come with the kind of depth that he brings, he's helped us kind of think about some of those other challenges as well. And so it's not just been here, but thanks for being a resource to our agency. The last person I want to say who's been really kind of a part of the whole team out here today has been Mary. Commissioner Amasolo has been hugely helpful in helping make residents feel like they're going to be successful in transitioning to their new home. And Leilani, if I can ask you, right next to you, there's some flowers there on the. And those are for Mary. And just wanted to say thanks for your. This is a sign, and it's just kind of like another typical day. But we called Commissioner Amasolo up on. I think we called her up like Saturday. So I think we got about 100 people that were all around on Monday. We might as well drop by. Oh yeah, come bring them. Never hesitate. And we, the tours are going to stop at Mary's after November 7th. We're going to November 7th. She has graciously opened up her doors to anyone who'd like to see her unit after this meeting today. So we'll go up there and you can see the new flowers. Did you want that job? But thanks for being so warm and open to everybody.
They're all my neighbors and friends, so I wouldn't do it. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. Especially the seniors and people who English isn't their first language. I like to help them. I don't have any thermostats I've adjusted for some time.
Oh, man. They're either cold or too hot. And I'm walking. And I'm like, Mary, can you please help with the Sunday? Nobody's here. And yes, I go and adjust the thermostat. So I should be working with each of us. Yeah.
You've been great. And you love it already. And she's happy and kind and gracious. And she's got this wonderful little dog, Gracie. And I don't think Gracie's so happy. Another 100 people come over in the kennel.
Thank you. And thanks to the entire team out here. We really appreciate it. Willie has one. And we're moving to Chalmers East next.
Next up, you can't see it from here, or you can see the fencing is out here, but inside there's crews furiously at work doing abatements, taking out utilities, getting things cut off and removed, so that hopefully in 3 weeks or so, when we're back here for the groundbreaking, you'll see a lot of activity and see a lot less buildings and things over there. So it's going to be very exciting. It's a little hard to see right now, but I think when we meet back here in a couple of weeks, it's going to be a changed site over there. It's going to look a lot different. And just one thing, if I could add, we talked about how many people transfer here. A big thank you to the HACA staff. We've never dealt with a more professional staff when it comes to relocation and things like that. Usually, a lot of housing authorities kind of throw their hands up and say, I don't know, you guys figure it out. Your staff was all over everything. Relocation was definitely a moving target, and they were very accommodating and very helpful, and always right there pointing us up. So, big thank you to them.
Yeah, we've had an amazing team, and the leader of that crew has been Tim Middleton by far. And it's extraordinary. Tim, anything you want to add to the mix? But it's a huge accomplishment to get, you know, what, 80% of the residents moving over here, feeling like they can do it successfully, and I mean, you've dealt with every issue under the sun. And you've protected their interests. So, Amy, you want to add?
I'll just echo what you just said. This was a great team to work with. And I think we all had our hands in the whole process all together. So there wasn't one issue that I was dealing with that Steve didn't have to be concerned with, that Millard didn't have to hear about, that it was the whole team that came together. And if we had concerns about things, you guys were great with helping us address those concerns so that we could keep moving forward. I mean, we had a deadline, we had dates that couldn't be changed, and so whatever needed to happen, the team just came together and made it happen. So, good luck to you all.
So, Will and Steve, let me say thank you to both of you all. You met Micah. You all first brought this project to us, and when we discussed it, I asked whether you could be finished by October of 2019, and because I had some international folks that I wanted to see this project, and you guys were able to do it, and we actually had about 80 folks that came over on Monday and saw it, and we were impressed with it. The lady from Ireland said that she had never seen anything like this before, and I was, you know, tickled to death to brag on you all. So we really appreciate it, because you gave us what did, not just in the eyes of the folks here, the residents, but folks, our colleagues around the country, as well as in Canada, South Africa, New Zealand, in and out. So we really appreciate it. So we got to show you work also. Who knows, you may get a phone call from just across the pond.
So this place sound pretty exciting. I'm going to try my hand to do some work on those places.
So thank you to each and every one of you all for what you've done. This is, I love it when a plan comes together, and I'll invite other commissioners to have a say at this time.
I've got one comment, and it's as y'all will recall, say I was dubious about turning over one of our properties to somebody other than our employees that couldn't follow. From a management standpoint, have you got the tools that you need to make sure the work is done according to the plan?
Yeah, I think we're in pretty constant contact, and the oversight's pretty intense. We're here on a daily basis, and you know, we're looking at management reports and numbers, and I think we feel pretty good about it. Pilar and Michael, either of you might like to chime in.
We have a really long checklist of everything that we'll be checking on every month, from weekly and monthly reports, change statements, and visiting the site a lot. We're trying to really cut the cord and make sure that this is managed by CMS, but we've almost been seamless.
What happens if we have an employee that needs to have some sort of action taken against? Who does that?
It's a CMS employee. That CMS would take action on their employee.
Even though it occurs on our property.
I think there'd be, depending on what the circumstance was, but we do have the ability.
I'm sure we have a contract to address it.
We do, but HR issues get handled by CMS, just our HR issues get handled by us. But if we ever felt like we had issues, maybe on some of the softer things, the management team here not working collaboratively with residents, not being respectful to residents, we'd be having a series of discussions. We have the ability to take action if we need to. But we feel, from a corporate culture standpoint and from a hobby culture standpoint, I think we're pretty much in agreement about how we want to succeed with this property. While we intend to have these properties, all managed by, so we're going to outsourcing, the property management, we're looking at it really carefully, and if we need to make a change, we've made changes before with property management, we would hesitate to make changes again. We may change it Springdale, not too long ago, or we switched management companies. That actually moved property management around in public housing properties. We never like to let people go, but we just suspect knowing the expertise and getting to have something to help them raise. We need to make changes, we would. We're excited by this particular management team, one thing that Marlin brings, and I think it's helpful. We've had unique residents with unique challenges here, maybe more so than at other properties. Marlin brings a bit of a pastoral background, which I think is an extra gift. I think that we've just seen a general, we've seen a lot of compassion and a lot of empathy working through tough situations. So we're feeling good.
Well, let me put my laundry down.
We got to move the
table. When I do that. But if an employee, if one of their employees violates somebody's civil rights and we get sued, are we going to get sued?
If I guess, probably. And
I would guess so too.
And we would work through that issue. We retain all the insurance coverages and protections that we would.
I'm just raising questions right now. Everybody says everything is good, I'm happy. But just it's a little bit different. And anytime you have the public-private partnerships, I get concerned about the liability of this board that has fiduciary duty over all of these properties. And it's more than just fiduciary duty because it's a governmental function. If legal counsel is satisfied, then I'm okay. I just want to make sure it's been addressed.
Bill's got to say a word in just a second, but I'll tell you that since 2003 when you bought Sterling Village, you all we've had other outsourced management running these properties, and I think the risks have been well navigated through 25 properties, and I think we, in this case, we will apply the same principles and protections, and make sure that they're memorialized in our contracts to protect us all. That weird things happen. We've had weird things happen in our portfolio. Weird things will happen in our public housing portfolio. But we feel really confident that we've got the right legal team and others to ensure protections to protect us all and to. Bill, you want to add a couple words?
Sure thing. The ownership of this transaction, like the other ones, is structured again to the maximum extent possible to isolate the Housing Authority way. The only participation the Housing Authority itself has in this deal is the ownership line. Its affiliate through a single purpose entity is the one that participates in the ownership to further shield against that. And so, absent some actual bad action on behalf of the Housing Authority or staff, but there would be no basis to actually get to the Housing Authority or AHU.
So we have no liability for the actions of our property
manager. The partnership itself may have the Housing Authority itself.
Okay.
Periodically, I'm going to raise these liability issues.
We've actually asked Bill and Terry to do a little bit of additional research and probably just have an opinion on it to make sure that as we do more of this, make sure that we've got all the texts we need. And we need also to talk to our insurance carriers and others to make sure we've got the right
CNO and other things. Yeah, and apparently this is going on all over the country, so it's not like I'm asking a question that hasn't been asked.
Right, that's correct. Okay.
So the one thing I would add is and I'm not sure whether it's Carlton properties, whether you all have anybody on staff who does media relations?
Not on staff here, but at the home office, yes.
That's what I'm saying, at your home office.
Do those interactions.
But I think it would behoove you and whoever they have to call Ken Herman and go sit down with them in advance of the groundbreaking as a way to promote this. And then try to find a way to give the media a tour of this property, either in advance of the groundbreaking, great during our interest in lunches, and be Quade the Evans out and folks like that. And I don't know the specific personalities in the Hispanic media, but to the extent you can invite them out and take a tour of the property, I think you can generate more interest. This is a great story to tell for us. We're 16 years old now, and so this is sort of a new chapter of what we're able to do. And then again, like I said, again, as I was, we were talking about this, but some kind of way you can take this and put it part of a presentation. It's something that when we talk about, our strategic plan, the one thing I think we don't do a good enough job of in this condo because we're focused on housing folks to tell the story to the media. Ken Herman is somebody who's taking interest in what we do, and I think he'd be happy to come out here and maybe somebody with the Tribune, because I know the Tribune has a person who does housing, they don't really focus on us, but it's another way to sort of get our story out there in a very positive light, especially given what is being talked about in terms of housing now. All the stories regarding homelessness, it's all very negative, but I just think there's another story to be told, and working with them directly would be the way to find, to get above sort of all the noise that's taking place. So I think it would be good if you could get with their media folks, call Ken Harmon, go to the Statesman, maybe do an editorial, invite them to come to the property. I think it's worth the time and energy.
Carlton's got a third party contractor that's doing this communications work, and we've been having weekly meetings with them, and we'll add that to them. We've got that other press and outreach and put some tours and interviews with residents, so I'd be well to get about that.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We're doing general press release to all comers, but if you have specific folks you'd like us to reach out to, you think you might be interested in coming and doing a tour beforehand, I think that would be great.
Ken Herman was awesome.
Build up their interest.
Yeah, Ken Herman was awesome. Every States when he and I go back to the governor's office. I know he and Chuck know each other, and so there's a personal that Ken and I used to play basketball on Sunday nights when I was in the governor's office.
Yeah, our office didn't care for him.
But he was covered in a very positive manner. Like when we had to just get over a vote on the appropriate phone roster. He actually was very pro housing authority, whereas there was another journalist with the same paper who took the opposite position.
Right.
And I see him time to time at the council, and he always has. So I think, again, to the extent you've got somebody who's a friend of the media, take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can definitely kind of reach out to him a little more in depth than we would some of the folks up there, and we'll see what we can work out.
All right. So, any more?
Yep, that's it.
All right, we'll go back to
Kelly,
the presentation of the annual
planning
of the fire board.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. We do this every year. We come back with a draft annual PHA plan, but it's starting to change now because we're getting out of public housing business. This plan is going to start getting smaller. And cover only the Housing Choice Voucher Program in the future. So it is also time for our five-year plan, which we update and in the annual plan anyway. So it's kind of a duplicate process this year. And again, no formal vote is required, y'all. And I heard you, Mr. Ritchie, I know it's a very voluminous document. And what I'll do next year is I will take this, page 46 of 100, which is the executive summary. I don't know why we put it back there. I'm going to put it up front next time so that you can see what the changes are. So for the most part, the annual plan, we removed quite a bit of public housing information, and we updated the same items that Lisa just spoke to you about in her admin plan on this, because it's kind of a ready source of our policies. And we updated the progress in the rental assistance demonstration program. So on page 46, which is the executive summary, it's pretty short. We updated the areas that I just explained. So we're going to put this out and the 5-year, which I'll talk to you about in a moment, which is attachment 2. We're going to put this out for 45-day comment period starting tomorrow, and we'll have 3 public hearings, and then the final will be in December on the 19th at the board meeting, where we'll have incorporated any comments that were relevant and germane to the document. So for our five-year plan, what we did is we put out on here our goals and objectives for the next 5 years. This document's going to change some, as it should. We've recently gone through strategic planning, and we've added a few more items. So that, as that becomes finalized, we'll update this document to reflect that. We also put our progress into this document for the last 5 years to show how successfully we've met these goals and objectives from the last 5 years. And so the next that's the next bit. I mean, it's really that document's pretty short. And so is there any questions?
Any questions?
It took a lot longer to do it than me explaining. and I think you did a better job of doing it than
with that, it was an informational presentation. There's no action required on the board. It's time to say thank you both to you and to Lisa. And then we will go to the
next one. Any questions?
Yeah.
Who do we tend to get comments from when we submit these programs?
Typically, it typically would be one of our
legal aid.
Yeah. right. I mean, and those are the people that we actually are mailing comments to. I mean, we want them to provide them. And so we do that. We're in the process of mailing them out to all of our presidents of our resident advisory boards and to community leaders that have been identified over the last decade or two. So we actually send physical copies to them for them so that it's very easy for them to do so.
We're not anticipating much in this one. Next year we'll incorporate the elements of the new strategic plan, so that might generate some additional comment, but this one, they're not big departures from last year or this year. Mm-hmm.
And as a heads up, so that we can get you the information typically at one time in the year, we're going to start next year in bringing all the types of rules and policy changes that are done on an annual basis in September, Mr. Berber's request. So that'll be at the September board meeting, and so that will be the meeting that you'll generally see most of these items.
So your side. Any comments about the plan? Without further ado, then we'll take this out for public comment, and we'll report back to you all in December. Mr. Chairman, the next item is on the consent agenda. It's, there are two items on the consent agenda. The first, the board minutes summary for September 19th. And then the second is approving the write-off of uncollectible amounts for vacated tenants. And you'll have in front of you, provided by Martha, a kind of description of why the write-off deceased residents or eviction or not paying that. So, you'll notice that a fraudulent repayment agreement is nearly $18,000 out of time for them. 20% of that amount in total. So this is how it's really broken down.
So let's do this. Let's take this item number two off the consent agenda and then move to the discussion. If I have any questions or really comments about it, and let's go with the approval of the board minutes in September meeting. So the chair will entertain a motion to approve the board minutes from board minutes summary for the board meeting held on September 19, 2019. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Is there any discussion? Yes.
One of the items that we will be approving is the rather the minutes about the CIS and the $600,000 contract that we voted on with them. Now it seems to me that we also had, as part of that discussion last month, the possibility of trying to figure out a more objective type of evaluation of outcomes, etc. Mm-hmm. And even though it did not appear in the minutes, I just want to make sure that we are all on the same page in terms of what that process would include.
So we did have that discussion, so I'm recognizing the motion to amend the minutes to make sure that that language is included in there going forward. So, motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo.
To include a process by which we determine whether or not we wish to have a third objective party evaluate the outcomes, or that the process include a more definitive evaluation of the process.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the amendment to the minutes is adopted, and now I'll recognize the Commissioner Duncan Hall for a motion to approve the minutes as amended. Commissioner Apostolo is the second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll go to the uncollectible accounts of vacated tenants. I really appreciate you providing it. As I was reading through it, thinking that this is a public document, I know you tried to be cautious with it, and I think you shared with me your intent to take a step further. And so, for those of you who are just coming in on the discussion, if you look at your background material, it does list the party's last name.
First name, last position.
First name. And so I think rather than putting this out in the public domain, since this is a public document, that we ought to use something that's less descriptive. And I think you said that the tenants are assigned a number.
Yes.
So we use the tenants number in the future so that somebody who may be having, obviously, if you're living in public housing, your financial situation is not the best. But if you are able to recover from that, you don't have this haunting you. Because again, while this document may get destroyed, if it's on the internet, it's there for lifetime. And so I appreciate you thinking of that. And so I welcome you. And if not, then.
So the total amount that we have written here is $92,392. Of that, only $207 is from low-income public housing, which is the required amount that we're supposed to approve every 6 months. And in Hockett Box, it's also disclose the write-off is still reviewed by the board. That's the additional amount. And the schedule outlines the reasons. There's one in particular that was the largest contributor to the balance of $92,185 in the converted property. If we exclude that one, we would be at 3.1% of the tenant revenue in total. And this schedule includes more than tenant rent, tenant rent. It includes legal charges, maintenance, other utility, other reasons for non-payment. The way we budget for it is 2% of tenant rent. So this is a little bit higher this period. The prior 6 month period, we had 1.5% for tenant rent, and the period before that was 1.9. So this being at about 3% is higher. So that indicates stepped up activity and eviction. In the RAD rules, which is the same as all the other tenants. And this also has a little bit of a catch-up period with the four properties that were converted. November, December, Thurman, Mercury, Henry, and Rosewood. So those were included. Those last 2 months were included in this total and converted to RAD. So it's a little bit higher. What we should also look at is this is the write-offs are taken to the board. So we have our financial statements are representative of the true amount that's due. We don't have a statement, so we take that net balance with the rent and the net of what we actually are collecting. We also show it on our budget, so we don't get to look at the needs. At some point we should change the format, but we have had the budget of 2%. We have vacancy budgeted at 5%, so those in December, August budget, we have 2% less than 5% vacancy. We're well below that. So, and before we started these, we were just a little bit short, so we were just below 2%. So I think this is an increase, permanent increase, unfavorable to 2%, is what I'm saying. That what we're going to, we should also look at vacancy. So we're doing much better on having lower vacancy rates in the budget. We're doing a little bit worse on that day. So as part of the budget revision, the next budget process, we're going to look at some of the completely some of the older retained agreements that came in from the public housing that was trying to keep up with it in the next phase two.
Any questions? I got one. What is this big deal? $17,000 Prog repayment agreement. What is that?
We had a resident in Anarita who, after conversion to the Twin Centers CIE, we found that she had reported income for a long period of time for conversion. So we charged her about $10,000 of that is the previous amount that she had paid. And so she paid that.
I gotta say, that's one of the reasons why I'm not unhappy to have me in the next year. People like their business. These folks are getting a taxpayer supported benefit. Expectations of people to pay their rent. We do collect. We don't send collection agencies after that as others do. We actually it's limited. We have a limited collection effort but it's not as aggressive as it is in some other things that
we
have you had a hurry that you take on? Actually, Kovacs is going to be Wilson Snowbird.
My question is, I just remember I was in college, walking to the business store and seeing somebody with a ticket for $2.58 and it's posted and everybody sees it. And so for the rest of life, that person wrote a check, hot check in college, for $2.58. and at that point in time in their life, come on, it wasn't love. It's in Commerce, Texas.
I want to tell you that in the public housing program, HUD requires us to enter the debt into the EAD system. They don't do that in the program that we converted to, but HUD is planning to do that. So anytime a resident leaves with a debt, we enter into the system, and housing authorities for confirmation will be required to review that before they let them move in. So we do get residents come back 2 years later because they want to move in somewhere else and to pay us back so we can move in.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't want this to be punitive, because let's put it this way. I was in the section. I had Section 8 property in North Carolina. I had somebody walk out on me in the middle of the night. And so I'm stuck, and the trash out the property and everything. And what the owner actually was, I just had to report this to the bureau and just let it go. But I wasn't trying to pay them down and just have another. And I'm sitting there having bombs while they were behind rent for months. So, but in the scheme of things, we're not trying to ruin somebody's life. All of a sudden, you put somebody's name out there and it ends up on the internet. That's something that somebody's going to always see. And I just think we got to be careful with that, because we're trying to help people out. I mean, and again, you have people who want to come back. And if they're able to pay their debt off and they have nothing outstanding against them, then they're going to be willing to help them.
And
Toward the airport this way.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
And there's a big ball mark that would be on your left-hand side when you're going there. Cameron Road is coming up somewhere around this area. So the property we're talking about is here. So it's going I-35 going toward Raker Lane. Raker would be up here.
So Georgian Manor is just a little bit
Georgian
Manor,
west
and the north, right. And then Thurman Heights is a couple blocks over.
And I want to introduce Journeyman Group Sammy Kumar, and then his team, Tracy Marino, Kurt Grohl, and Ross Hamilton. And they've done a phenomenal job.
Suzanne, could you say his name again?
Sam Kumar.
My ears stopped if I went swimming.
This is Sam Kumar.
Sam Kumar. Nice to meet you, Sam.
Nice to meet you, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you all for giving us this opportunity to come and work with you. We're elated at this opportunity, and it's been a pleasure working with, starting with Mr. Gerber. And I want to say, take a minute, Suzanne, and let the Commission know and the Chairman know that when I called Mr. Gerber, that was about 2 years ago, he answered the phone and he said, you know, the first time I'm calling somebody and somebody answers the phone, and immediately agreed to a meeting, and we were elated to go meet with them in their office. And Mr. Ron Kowal and Suzanne have been great last 2 years working through the city of Austin and the zoning and the neighborhood, and it's been eye-opening for us. We are market rate developers, and came out and wanted to do something good and wanted to be in the affordable space, and it's been a really great experience for us, and thank you for working with us.
And Journeyman's done a great job in the community, and Sam's been active in homeless efforts here in the city as well, so we appreciate your leadership in that.
Thank you.
Fun.
So, Sam, so JCI Residential LLC, so how long have you all been active in Austin, and how many affordable housing developments and deals have you done?
Chairman, we have been in Austin. I've been in Austin for 30 years. We started in a multifamily career with JCI Residential about 10 years ago, and we did our first project called Silverado Crossing, right? Here in Buda, Texas, and now we've done about 3,100 units so far. We are blessed, you know, Austin has been great to us, and I had the ability, or I had the, I was fortunate enough to serve with the Friends Steps Board that arched the Austin Resource Center for Homeless. And my partner, Kurt Ball, and I, after being serving on the Homeless Board, of the Friends Steps Board for the Homeless, we wanted to do something good in the affordable space. So we located this land, and we wanted to do something with them. Actually, we went to them and said, hey, there's a project we'd like to do. And when they had some leadership changes, and I was serving as a board member there, and when we couldn't do the project there is when I brought it to HOPA. And this is our first project. So 3,100 units of multifamily that are completed or in the process of completing. And this is our first project. And to be honest with you, we would like to do one to two projects a year in the affordable space going forward. We would like to do about 900 units in the market rate side. And as a commitment to the community, we would like to do one to two projects going forward a year.
Very admirable on your part. I just wanted to get a little more background about your firm and what you all are doing. And I would say don't be afraid about this being the first one, because we all have to start somewhere. And usually the first job we get out of college, we probably haven't done it before in our lives, but somebody has to give us a chance. And it seems like, you know, I trust the Mike and his staff, Ron and Suzanne, do some very good vetting. I know they, we have a ton of folks knocking on our door. So anyway, just relax and let's go forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So just a little bit of background. You've seen this project three times. First in November of last year for the inducement for the bonds. Again in March for the tax credit application resolution. And then again in August for the public hearing. We did have a couple of people that showed up from the neighborhood. They're more just interested in what the project is going to look like. So after the public hearing, Ross and Tracy were great. They set up a meeting. We met with the community room at Georgian Manor. They brought samples of the finishes and everything. Everybody was really excited about the new project coming up. The Journeyman Group has been phenomenal in communicating with the neighborhood. This has been a really time-intensive project for them. The original site were several single-family lots that they purchased and they replatted so that now we can, and rezoned so that now that we can do 258 family units. This is 233 units at 60% area median family income, and then another 25 at market rate, because a lot of times when a new project comes up and it's the tax credit, you get a lot of over-income people applying. So we've got that little buffer so that we can also place those. The lender is going to be Mason Joseph. It's going to be a HUD loan. And our equity provider is RBC, who did our first five RAD transactions. And this is slated to close hopefully in the middle of November. And we do have kind of a site plan.
Tracy's got some.
An actual rendering of the project, the clubhouse. And this is a Powell Lane and Wansley. This is the south of it, just to give you an idea of what it looks.
Okay. Before I lose my train of thought, I'm 60. So, Suzanne, you said, you know, you have some room for people who have over income?
Over the 60%.
Okay. Do we notify our tenants? Because going back to the previous item where we had this tenant who was over income because of its own, and they walked on this, I'm just thinking, is there a way to work with them and say, okay, there's an opportunity to go into a place rather than you walking, and then try to find a way to work out some sort of agreement to get that money back? If my sense is, we probably have a number of folks who will walk on this once they realize they're over income and they're trying to go back and collect back from them. Because one of the things you learn, you know, as a lawyer, you figure out a way to get a client, but you got to figure out how, or not just a lawyer, but when I was with THU, you get a client, but you've got to be sticky. You got to find a way to keep them. And even when they got problems, work with them through the problems to maintain them. So that, because at some point in time, that money that they were giving you, that they walk on, they're giving it to somebody else. And so just, so you don't have to answer that now, but I didn't want to lose that train of thought.
I've worked very closely with the RAD team as the residents their rents are increasing or whatever. We've been trying to place them in one of our properties.
Okay.
Now, you know, that obviously the subsidy doesn't transfer with them. So, but we do, as soon as we start pre-leasing, I get with Nancy Green in the Section 8 department and get the property set up so that we can start taking housing choice voucher applications as well.
Okay. Well, I like that. Bring it.
It's really the, we Austin Affordable have never done this type of roof, and I'm really excited about it. They said it's very hardy, this whole thing.
Is it hardy?
It's clay tile.
Okay.
This is what we do on a lot of our market rate stuff, and it translates really well. We're really excited about bringing this type of product really well.
Withstands the weather, ages very well.
Can you move around just right behind Suzanne so that
that doesn't show up. The lighting's not too
good. Sorry, I didn't know there was a thing behind that.
Yeah, so the neighborhood was also very, very excited about what it's going to look like. It's a bit different than anything we've built in the past.
Yes, sir. I was also just going to say another thing, you know, we're doing for the neighborhood is we're building a trail that's going to connect Wansley to Powell Lane to give access to the recently renovated Georgian Acres Park. We also made a significant donation there to help get that over the hump, and they're actually supposed to be breaking ground on that in the next couple of weeks, so we're really excited about that and providing a safe walkway for them to use rather than just cutting through what was essentially trespassing before.
Andrea, can you go back to the map so we can kind of see what
It's
right here, yeah. So you'll see it's on the left side of your screen there.
Oh, okay.
So Wansley's at the bottom and Powell Lane at the top, so it'll just go
go on the left side of our property.
And did it sort of extend out into a park?
It goes into a park that's just across the street on Cowley.
Okay.
Yes,
so we're going
cool.
And we have donated a significant portion of the money from the project to the parkland to make sure the neighborhood is happy with the amenities they're going to get in the park.
No, that's good. Yeah, we want the neighborhood to be happy.
I just wanted to add real quickly that the residual impact of this is going to be, I think, going to really be impactful in that it's a poor, you know, we have George and Maynard, it's a tougher neighborhood, it's a poorer neighborhood. One of the original concerns of the neighborhood is we're building 60% in already a market that's already saturated with 60% units, and why are we doing that? And so we're seeing two things. Since we've platted this property, got the zoning change, four apartment complexes have already changed hands to private investors, already looking for the next best thing to increase rents. The other thing is there's several affordable properties, if not a majority of them, that are not at the best standards. If they're always the poorest of the poor, they're the most run down. These people in that neighborhood are now going to be able to move into this project at the same rent. They're going to lose, all those owners are going to lose all those affordable units because they're going to come here at this new project. It's going to basically force those other project owners to upgrade their properties, to build a better facility, take care of what they've been neglecting for years, you know, in the past. So we've kind of ignited this neighborhood. I think Councilmember Kassar was really pleased as he started seeing the results of what's happening, because he's very aware of what's trading out there. So I think we're on the cutting edge of this, and I think we're going to force a lot of good things to happen in this surrounding neighborhood that's kind of been abused for a long time by a lot of these owners, taking advantage of the poor communities, because these people are going to be able to come in all brand new amenities, brand new everything, and it's going to force these owners to upgrade their apartments if they want to keep their residence. So it's going to have a good residual value too.
And at the community meeting, a representative from Austin ISD was there, and he was really excited about this. He even offered for future meetings that we have throughout the process of building this, that we could meet maybe possibly at one of their schools. So they were tremendously excited about that. We have committed.
Okay. So where's the school? Where's the nearest?
They have an elementary school.
Oh, really?
They have an elementary school right here in this.
Okay.
It'll be a brand new elementary school. We're in the process of rebuilding that next year.
Which school is it?
T.A. Brown.
T.A. Brown. It's like state of the art. They brought a rendering of it. It's very
interesting. Okay.
So what we want to do is continue the meetings so that the community is kind of involved and knows what's going on. Possibly some hard hat tours throughout the process.
There's a no frost bank. It's like right in here. Are they aware of it? What we're doing? Because they're kind of like an anchor right on East Anderson. Just kind of, I think they'd be interested just in terms of community. Because Betty is always involved with her community stuff. And
right.
And takes herself out.
Well, she does financial literacy classes for all my tax credit properties, so right. We're definitely going to get her involved.
And that's where we're going with that.
Yeah, in fact, she stops doing financial literacy classes for anybody else in the city. She only does them for my project.
Cool.
Is there any issues from a legal standpoint?
Yes, sir. What you have before you as the prior transaction is basically the same structure. Is a bundle of resolutions because of the various pocket entities that are participating. Austin Affordable is acting as a conduit issuer here for short-term bonds that are cash collateralized, and that's the motion under the resolution under consideration right now. AAP will have a wholly owned affiliate participating on in ownership of the transaction, and then the housing pool itself will participate in the capacity of owning the dirt and the project itself.
Any corporate bail issues?
none that we haven't discussed. But again, the House has already voted.
I brought that up last time.
So, Mr. Chair, we would ask for approval of resolution number 56 on the Austin Affordable Care agenda, authorizing issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds, authorizing the execution of various documents and other actions necessary related to Bridget Bernard.
So, the Chair would entertain a motion to approve resolution number 56. Motion by Commissioner Costello, seconded by Commissioner Bailey. Is there any further discussion? And then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, we'll jump over to the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda. Action item number two is again the Bridget Bernada. This is resolution number 00137, authorizing the private board of directors of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, authorizing AOC to execute any of the documents necessary and desirable to facilitate the development of Bridget Bernada apartments and for other purposes. We ask for approval of this resolution.
Very quick. But this resolution, number, you anticipate we're going to get into tens of thousands of
dollars. It's just the way Novus works. It's just the way Novus works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 137. So, motion by Commissioner Bailey, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
So, Mr. Chair, we'll go to action item number three on the hot agenda, which is presentation discussion and possible action on resolution number 2614 by the Board of Commissioners HACA and APACA, approving the resolution of Austin Affordable PFC, providing for the issuance of multifamily revenue bonds for the Bridget Bernada apartments and for other purposes.
Maybe on the housing board, you could 15-0.
It's the way the program works. You have to have that.
All right. So, the Chair will entertain a motion to approve item number three, resolution number 2614. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All of those in favor,
aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion carries. Congratulations, gentlemen. We look forward to working with you guys.
Thank you.
Can you introduce all the members of your team just so
yes. We
know who they are?
So, my name is Kurt Gall. I'm the president of JCI Residential. We're excited about this project. And just talking about affordability, a lot of our market rate projects have 10% affordability of 60 or 80. And so we think this is, for us, a bigger commitment to that process. We think it's important in the city of Washington.
Thanks.
Ross Hamilton, I'm the vice president of the development journeyman group. Just want to second what everybody else has already said. This being our first foray into affordable housing, I think it's important to have an experienced and the right team, and we definitely had that. Just appreciate all the help from Suzanne and Ron along the way, as well as Chris Rose's team and everybody involved. So we're excited to finally bring it to fruition.
All right.
And I'm Tracy Marie. I'm the project manager for this project. The guys have already said it, but I'm really excited. I'm from Central Texas myself, from Bastrop, so being able to be a part of something like this close to home, I've got a lot of family here in Austin. It means a lot to me. I take a lot of pride in being able to bring this to the city. We're really excited about it. Suzanne's been amazing to work with, Coach Rose's team, everything's been great. So we're excited about this being the first one, and hope to do a couple more.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sure, we'll stick on the Austin PFC. And then we're here to item number three, which is presentation discussion and possible action on resolution number 57, authorizing the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds for the Oaks at North Plaza and for other purposes associated with this project. Ron?
Go ahead.
First, Suzanne,
I'm sorry.
Little tech team.
And I didn't put pictures up because we were going to internet and show you. Basically, this is a property, you've seen it twice, once in May for the tax credit application resolution and once in June for the inducement resolution. This is a property very similar to what's in our RAD stock now. It needs like air conditioning and things like that. So related, approached us to purchase this property and to do a tax credit issuance and to rehab. This is currently a Section 8 project-based property, has 62 units. The rehab scope, I think I've attached it, but it's pretty extensive. A lot of energy efficiencies that we need, windows, all the appliances, HVAC, water heaters, washer and dryer connections. Right now they have the clotheslines out there. Related has done a lot of really good rehab projects, and we're pretty excited to partner with them because of what the tenants, what they deserve. And I feel like this is very similar to our RAD conversion. It is also, you know, north, kind of not too far from our Journeyman project at Renata.
About a mile east of Sterling Village,
and more. That's what the J stands for, and JC is Journeyman. Okay.
Yeah, this one we're partnering with Related on.
Okay.
So these would be the final resolution so that we could go ahead and close and get our tax credits and start what we have. Looking probably at a December closing, not starting any rehab or anything until the beginning of the year after the holiday.
We think this deal is the right one to do. We think it, the folks who live there are very nice people who really live in some challenged conditions. Not that the property ownership's been bad, but it's probably in need of rehab. We've been talking to Related companies about this project, and we are hopeful that we'll be able to close with Related. That would probably come before council in a couple of weeks' time. Still some issues to work out, but we think there's a property that we, if we're able to move the transaction forward, that we can be successful at.
We fortunate to do a lot of history on this since it's managed by Southwest Housing and the compliance side, so we were able to pull up previous scores and previous ownership did a very, and I was fortunate enough to be able to walk the majority of the units and meet most of the tenants. It's a very, very clean, very good shape. We're going to put a lot of work. It's actually going to be called the Oaks at Norton Plaza because we're planting. It's just flat. There's not a single tree on this property. We're bringing in big trees to make it with a brand big playscape. And so we wanted to name it because there's not a lot of stuff out there that makes it look very pretty outside.
So this is 100% Section 8 project based through the old Section 8 program without those housing units, 60,000 of those units. So once this is converted, tax exempt bonds are issued, 4% credit. Do those project based vouchers stay there? So they will stay on this property.
We're not adding any more density. We're not tearing anything down. We're not building anything more. There's going to be 62 units in place with residents there. We're going to try to do a majority of it in place by moving within the property. We probably will have to relocate some, and AHC is prepared to make several of its properties in the very close vicinity available for residents that can be transferred.
What would be the length of time? What's the term limit then, or the length of time, the remainder for those vouchers that are there?
Did they get
a renewal?
Usually it's 20 years.
Okay.
And that was one of the other things, too, is it could possibly have lost its project-based status, especially when you're seeing a lot of, again, there's two apartment complexes across the street that are now on the open market that are very, very being highly bid after on the private market directly across the street. Remember, this area was, you wouldn't touch this area, wouldn't come close to it 15 years ago, it's just tough, and it's rapidly changing, and I just think it's the right thing to do for these residents. But hopefully, we'll get across the finish line.
Yeah. Two other quick points. One is that we're very much working with SACC to make sure that we disclose to HUD that we're potentially purchasing this property.
I've identified the conflict, but I'm sure that they will take that. We're not sure that it's on the scale or a sufficient concern that they will remove it from the Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation portfolio. But if they do, they would just handle it. Either they assign it to another project-based contract administrator, or they would give it to HUD to do it themselves. So we're not terribly concerned about it. But it's, you know, we never like to see a loss of SACC business, but we've disclosed the conflict and that's taken no action on it. Second thing is that we would have related companies do property management at the site. We would be very engaged with the property management, really working with those tenants, and we probably look to have some kind of a tenant protection team kind of assist there to make sure that all the residents would rep put in $53,000.
$53,000 total cost per unit.
So it's a few million bucks over the property. But we want to make sure that the residents are successful and don't feel like they're being displaced, but there will be some need for hotel units and to move people around a little bit. So we want to do as good of a job as we've done here out there as well. And that's been a concern to us. So there'll be some issues to deal with there. But with that said, we would ask for your approval of resolution number 57 on Oaks and North Plaza.
So the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 57. I would recognize the Commissioner Harrington for a motion, seconded by Commissioner Costello. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
The Oaks and North Plaza on the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda is item number 4. So I ask you your approval of resolution number 139 by the Board of Directors of AAC, authorizing AAC to execute any documents and take other action necessary to facilitate development of the Oaks on North Plaza and for other purposes.
I got a question. Go ahead. Let's leave a question. Could we set up a super corporation made up of all these other corporations so when we run one of these things, they run all at once? In other words, be a corporation made up of all of our nonprofits.
That's a good question.
I'm just thinking we're having to go through these every time.
Right.
And just instead of saying, well, we'll go this and then go that and a certain along the ground, we just make these people, this new super corporation, our agent for doing this. And they say, it's okay.
Maybe. For various reasons, you do want to keep, I think, certain things separate. And you already have, like, AHC is a capitalized entity with a track record.
We wouldn't change that. You just for all the purposes of administrative ease, set up a super corporation to act as an agent for all these other corporations. Although you may still have to go ahead and get the others to approve it, too.
I think so, too, especially on the issuer side, I was about to say, we have to go through an approval process with the Attorney General's office, and these are considered public securities. And so many of the approvals they're looking for are pretty specific, so we probably have to vet it with them to see if they have an issue.
Yeah, that's
sure thing.
And Bill, should that any other legal issues that you see or structural issues different?
This is the same structure as the prior transaction. Again, you have the conduit issue right in limited capacity to issue short-term bonds. While on the AHC side, they'll control a general apartment, which will be participating in the deal, and PACA will own the loans, but that's it.
We ask for approval of resolution number 139.
Chair recognizes Commissioner Costello for a motion to approve resolution 139. Seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Then we'll carry on to the hot head agenda. Item number 4, which is resolution number 2615 by the Board of Commissioners of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. Approving a resolution of AAC, Austin Affordable PSC, provided to the HRC's multifamily housing revenue bonds and for other purposes, can be facilitated in development. Folks on North Plaza.
Chair will entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Costello. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Chair, we'll go back to the Austin Portable PSC agenda, item number 4, which is resolution 58, declaring 10th issue bonds for life financing for multifamily residential rental development. Persons of low moderate income, we know as the states of Owen Tech. Susan, you want
to? I forgot to do a slide for Owen Tech.
You see the administrative resolution on this one. I think the inducement resolution, which is the official action to start the process for applying for bond cap, was previously adopted for this transaction for $15 million. And I think since that time, the developers decided they need $20 million in bond cap to make the deal feasible. So this would just be adopting this kind of starter resolution to allow the project to apply for $20 million in bond cap.
Will be our first development with Generation Housing Development out of Dallas. They do a very quality product for seniors. It will be 174 senior units. It will be 50% A.
Good, next project. This is the partner that Audrey Martin brought to us.
Yes, and Audrey will be our tax credit consultant on that.
So, have they done any deals here in Austin that you developed?
I think they've done in one of the outlying towns, Round Rock, I think.
Yeah.
They play a lot in the 9% field.
Okay.
But Audrey Martin has worked with them before, and her being our tax credit consultant on a lot of the other deals.
There's a conflict with our tax consultant bringing us
They went through the regular RFQ process and contacted us with the project, so I don't think it's a
conflict.
This is not the 9% round.
So I just don't know what kind of deal.
As a lawyer, I couldn't lobby my client to bring a deal to him.
There's a handful of tax credit consultants in this space that are ones who I work with. We work with Audrey Martin. Audrey ran the tax credit program for me and she was there at the Texas Department of Housing. Very experienced. Tough.
Yeah, I just don't want her to be bringing us some business that she's going to get paid for.
Jill, you want to talk about conflict? Any conflict? Mm-hmm. Things that we need to think about as we have to tell you about.
We would have to look into that. I don't think we've examined whether or not what kind of fee
structure. I don't know enough about our relationship with this lady. The way it was.
She's also not the only tax credit.
That she brought this deal to us, and it's a 4% tax credit deal. We're paying her to assist us with the tax credit, and then she's making money on the transaction itself.
Right.
Then to me, there's a conflict there.
Yeah. No. I think Generation came in through the process that we've had established.
Yeah,
we made an introduction to Generation as well as to others through a wide variety of other partners that we work with. We introduce us to quality developers, skilled construction firms.
I'm going to turn to my colleague to my right, Mr. Carrington, because she has that Barbara Jordan look. If you can't explain it to your grandmother in 30 seconds, and her not do that to you, somebody write about this, and you've got that kind of a facial expression.
And I think it's a great question, and I'm going to turn right around and look at our councils and say, someone need to take a look at this.
I agree. We have to see if she's making money directly from it. Now, if she's just providing those services and the project was going to happen anyway, I don't see a concern. But if she's directly earning money from the transaction, then we need to look at it.
And not just her, any of them.
The one that we're talking about right now,
we've
in general.
Consultants bring transactions to us. On a real regular basis.
And it wasn't really, she introduced us to them.
Most developers come into the city and they reach out to the people doing the business, and the first thing they're going to do is call the housing authority, and
that's a little different because the developer that comes in, they're not doing, we're not paying them to do work on other deals. I mean, so the difference to me is she's a tax credit consultant that she advises us on a number of different deals. And she's I'm not sure this is the case, but if she's bringing a deal to us that she's making money on, and then she's making money on both sides of the transaction, that's a conflict. It's one thing for a developer to say, hey, I got this property, I'm buying it, I want to do a deal with you guys, boom, that's done. But they didn't get paid on both sides of the equation.
Is she getting a fee for bringing this transaction?
No. She's only being paid for doing the tax credit application.
She didn't have a contract at all. Yeah.
So we don't pay this lady anyway?
The partnership does. After the
and we're the partnership.
We are part of the partnership.
Yeah, see, I think that's...
But we've done it on...
We need to check it out.
We've done that on... I mean, it's... You don't want... it's just a dreaming. I mean, we wanted to make sure that, as our partner, that the process is done right through the TDACA. So we then... bring in a consultant and the partnership itself.
But let me show you. What I'm saying. If this lady, as a result of bringing us business, gets paid by us, and the business that she brings into us pays her for bringing it into us, then there's a conflict.
But it's similar to the architects getting paid for this job, and we have the same architect job. So
and the architect brought this company to us.
Is a question. So, Chachi, you and I have a client who we're doing work for, but we identify another problem they have. We're bringing that problem to their attention to pay us to solve it.
I'm just raising a point. But I don't want to get down the road and find out that this consultant or another consultant, as we're doing all of these projects, is getting paid on both sides. And I don't care whether it's HACA or whether it's a partnership that HACA is a member of, it doesn't matter.
That would be easy to confirm. Right. But there's the thing that she's paying only for work rendered as doing the tax credit.
And it wouldn't necessarily mean, even if we didn't pay her, or if the partnership didn't pay her, if as a result of her work, she got paid from somewhere because of stuff she did for us.
Thanks.
And she gets paid for these people that she recommends. It's a conflict.
Right. So we may have an agreement that has a disclaimer in it already with her. Either way, maybe we should have a disclaimer with people that are referring these projects that they're not getting.
Listen, the only reason I brought it up is because somebody over there said this is one of our consultants who brought us this deal. And that just triggered these questions.
Well, I think it's a good idea to have that disclosure agreement in place.
Right.
So I think you ought to work with Mike to bring something up so we all can thank
him. Or if you look into it, both of you say, nobody's going to price this. Just nothing.
It doesn't hurt just to have it all.
I mean, you have nothing near here, but I think we ought to have it as a standard boilerplate to protect us in all future contracts going forward.
Correct. So this deal is going to be coming back to you.
this is not proving the last round of time. You're not doing fourth resolution. This is the very first resolution.
We have that super corporation.
Yeah. That'll give us plenty of time.
We don't have to.
Right.
I have multiple discussions.
I don't know. I think we need to take them one by one, though.
I agree.
I'll just stay in here until 4 o'clock.
Oh, yeah,
so we ask for approval of this resolution, and council will, and we'll direct council to work to identify conflicts of interest on that. It doesn't matter. We would ask for approval because it's coming back to you. Yeah.
And the only other thing is, I think, this team wants to make an application for bond funds in what's called the bond lottery, and that means an application has to go in tomorrow.
But again, so they're not approving this deal.
No.
Right.
You're just approving that. You're basically what we're doing is authorizing the staff to be able to submit the application.
Yes, that's basically we're just making a change.
I keep thinking of that poor guy that filed his motion for habeas corpus. 5 minutes too late with
the
court
room
appeals,
they finally
got executed.
Yeah.
Well, let's prevent that from happening. Right. We approve resolution number 15.
So the chair will entertain a motion for resolution 58 with the reviser of the staff from the due diligence on what we talked about. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
And just to clarify, I think there'll be some consulting with Wilson, given Coach Rowe's incredible depth in this space. I'm going to ask if that Bill can believe on
that's fine.
Just
sure.
Be
that's
there.
Fine. Great. And while you're doing it, I'll tell you about sort of at the last minute. Oh, you could be like North Water, who at the last minute took all the applications that the FCC was handing out for folks to go to the cellular phones, and he just started calling. He got as many applications as he could and just started calling folks, sending them out, and people didn't want them, so he just started completing them, and he submitted them all, and that's how he became a millionaire overnight. He had the majority of the applications that were cell phones. So, being the last minute, if
it hurt you, or it can. Mr. Chair, we ask on the also affordable PSC agenda, item number 5 is resolution number 59, ratifying the current list of officers for also affordable PSC.
All right, the officers are Mr. Colwell, Gerber, and Ross, Ms. Ross, right? Correct?
That's correct, sorry. Yes, sir.
Mr. Gerber will be president. I am going to be vice president and secretary, and Martha Ross will be treasurer.
All right. Any questions? Hearing none, all of the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 59. Motion. Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Stoll. Any discussion?
No, we're going to
we're on the item 5. To go to the Austin Affordable PSC Corporation.
So
the big number 5.
Bill, you all walk through real fast?
This is, mainly
give me,
to...
Give me a little explanation.
Sure, this is just to ratify, as part of the transactions we undertake, both for the Attorney General's office and the various lenders involved, will periodically ask us for incumbency. I think that there had been a question raised. Mr. Gerber initially used it in secretary of the PFC executing the bylaws. But then also, we've been advised that you're the president as well, and you've been performing that function, so we wanted to codify that. These officers just to make clear for everyone what we have, and so we can confirm for our lender and for the AG.
And why are we doing staff instead of commissioners?
It doesn't have to be, but I think some of the file. This has been.
I don't know who's our PFC. Right. So these are officers, not directors.
We've done this before.
This has already been approved. We just needed to flip, make me the secretary instead of...
Because before Mike was the secretary.
Yeah, and I think I raised the same question.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So that has been approved?
I'm
great. Mr. Chairman, I
would
like to still a second.
Okay,
all those
in favor,
please
vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or
any motion
carries?
Mr. Chairman, is there any for executive session? All reports have been submitted. We ask for to close the Austin Affordable PFC.
Chair will
entertain
a motion to adjourn the Austin Affordable PFC. Amen. Motion by Commissioner Carrington, second by Commissioner Solo. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are on at 2:34 on Thursday, October 17th.
On the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda, item number 3. Resolution number 138, authorizing the AAC to execute any other documents to take other necessary actions regarding refinancing the pathway to the Thermal Heights and for other purposes.
Correct. So I think if you all remember, this was where we authorized a loan on Eastern Plaza to facilitate the closing for Thermal Heights because we had some issues with hotel units and some underwriting problems. We were going through some still renovations. We couldn't close this deal, and we were up against the timeline to get Thurman Heights, which was the catalyst to close Rosewood, Santa Rita, and Salina as well, because the proceeds off of that were going to generate those three closings. So we, you all, back in September 2018, authorized Eastland Plaza to take out a loan to facilitate that. The loan was for just under $5 million. The reason why the property itself is going to borrow a little over $6.063 million, but we had to have this happen so quickly in order to make, so we didn't kick into the next year. We got a desk stamp for this loan and got it done in 7 days, and so as long as it didn't exceed $5 million. And then AHC put in the additional capital to close Salina, Rosewood, and Santa Rita. So what we're doing now is what we originally planned to do a year and a half ago is now go back to Thurman Heights, have them take out this loan. The proceeds of this loan will then pay back the AHC loan to the Eastland Plaza, so it'll be free and clear again, and wipe that out, and also pay back the initial capital put into Salina, Rosewood, and Santa Rita. So basically what we're asking you here to do is let us go back to what we planned on doing now that Thurman is operational, doing well, and Thurman will now take the debt for these properties.
And just to clarify, Thurman is the property that generates
the revenue.
Significant revenue compared to the other properties, which are smaller and have limited potential.
Correct. And we could have, obviously, we could borrow a heck of a lot more if we wanted to, but we're choosing only to borrow when it's exactly what we need to pay back the loans that were originally taken out.
And we delayed the financing there because we had ongoing projects at Thurman Heights that we had to complete under the old system using the capital fund. So that was a program that we paid for the work at Thurman Heights, you know, over a four-year period. So we weren't able to go and assign this kind of, we weren't able to do this kind of financing.
We couldn't. We just
until that was completed. Is that right, Ann? Mm-hmm. Okay.
The interest rate on this will be almost 200 basis points cheaper than what we are on the Eastland Plaza loan. We have no prepayment penalty on that loan. We have no closing costs. So it's basically a zero cost loan to us when we pay it back. And then again, Eastland Plaza will be free and clear.
How long will it take Thurman to pay this back?
It's a 30-year loan. It's a 30-year loan, and it will be under HUD's requirement a 17-year balloon. It's a 30-year payout, but it's year 17. We'll come back to you all in 17 years, and we'll do it.
I hope not.
I'm not doing the math. But that's what HUD requires us to not do anything in less than 17 years under the RAD program. Unfortunately, we were able to get a waiver on Lakeside for a 10-year because we anticipate some different things there. But this one will be just fine. Jimmy's done an excellent job with the renovations and the remodeling there, and I don't see any need to do that. If we didn't see any need to do anything less than what I required for under the grant program.
Is there a possibility we can pay it off early?
Well, there's always a possibility.
It's got really good cash flow.
There is some prepayment issues on this, so we have to be very careful. We're allowed to only pay down a very small amount of principal, and that increases the years, and then 6 months out at year 16 and a half, the whole prepayment penalty is waived. But so we're subject to only a minimal amount of principal payment above and beyond what's collected under the Fannie Freddie guidelines.
Why is that? Because usually, you know, your lenders want to get their money back as quick as possible.
It just depends, because they're playing the markets too and hedging on rates where they're going to be in years. And actually, a 17-year mortgage costs us a few basis points more because you're right, a lender would love to have their money sooner. But they're pledging, they're going to sell this out to the secondary market. You're going to have somebody buy it at this rate, and they don't want, they're investing their money in the long haul. And so there's a lot of internal rate of return issues on the backside of this. So it's how agency debt works. You know, they're just very stickler on that. That's why we're fortunate to do the Eastland Plaza loan. We had no prepayment, you know, no cost to close this loan. That was very quick and easy. But this is RAD's requirement, so we're kind of stuck.
I remember being a little uneasy about borrowing money against something. I didn't think we all had the first place. But why, and I think I asked you this at the time, why didn't we just take cash from our kitty, from our SS Southwest kitty?
I think financially, we did take some. We took about $1.3 million or $1.4 million. But I think, you know, taking a $6 million hit out of our unrestricted reserves would have made us financially look a little bit. We didn't have that much. You know, we don't have that much in the pot to take that much of a financial hit.
And we put money in, a significant money to Gaston, and to, you know, which was
5.7.
So we, you know, we went down significantly in our reserves with that. But we need to retain what we think is a healthy, a reasonable reserve. So there's not as much in that reserve as you think, because we have made really substantial investments in the property.
Money in here, too.
In the here, too, some gap.
But we would pay it back just like we did this, right?
Gaston will be paying, the money we put into Gaston place is being paid by the property over time.
No. I mean, we're Gaston, the money's either coming in from the bonds or wherever it's coming in from. And it goes back, $6 million goes back to, you said we're going to be whole again?
So the shopping center, we had borrowed $5 million. That money's getting ready to go back.
That's correct.
And where's that money coming from?
We're going to now go back to Thurman Heights and take out the loan that we originally were going to do on the first place.
And why couldn't we have done that and just paid back our kitty, the $6 million kitty?
Because he was saying, because with Thurman and some others, and like with this project, we've been putting money from the reserve into different projects, so it's been going down. So rather than taking the full $6 million
paying any interest, that, I guess that's my question. Are we better off financially doing it like we did?
Correct, especially when HUD's looking at our books, and, you know, we want to retain a certain liquidity amount. There's something else to show that we're liquid, a $6 million hit all at once, even for a year.
Even with the note, a footnote that why we're doing it.
Right, and you know, we really didn't know how long it was going to take. We didn't know where interest rates were going to be. So I think that was probably the...
Well, I think I made the same argument back then.
The good news is Eastland will be whole again, and the properties will be free of all AAC's loans, and all that. It will be operational like we planned on from day one.
Okay. And I think it's worked out, because one of the concerns I had several years ago is, and I think you and I both had this conversation, was our reserves were so high that the concern was HUD coming in and trying to take that money. We were trying to figure out how we could prevent that, because when that was the point, we were up to 20 million dollars,
And I was nervous then about, hey, because there was still, even back then, and it's even more so now, talk about making you spend your reserves first before we send you your monthly allocation, which I think is, pardon my friends, but I think it's asked backwards. Because when I put that on the board, the whole conversation from HUD was, you need to build up your reserves. And now they got to the point where you need to spend your reserves before we give you any money. And that's not the way businesses, you know, people do business. You always want to have your reserves and whatever your operating income is. You spend that first before you go into your reserves. So this was a good way to do that.
Well, don't need to be worried about that anymore. How much? What's in our reserve account?
13 and a half of cash. And before we're also looking at current assets, of current liabilities. That's about where we got it today.
Well, even still, $13 million is a lot of money in there. Plus, you get his hands on it. Excuse my French.
We ask for approval on the AAC agenda of resolution number 138.
Motion by Commissioner Beckett. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying
aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
On the HACA agenda, item number 5 is that very same item. It's resolution number 2616. Authorizing the Board of Commissioners of HACA to take such actions as necessary to facilitate the refinancing of pathways of credit.
The Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution.
What type of program is we have to worry about?
Motion by Commissioner Beckenhall, seconded by Commissioner Sherrington. Any further discussion? Hearing that, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Any motion carries.
You like that last refinancing? You don't like this next one. Item number 5 is resolution on the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda. It is resolution 140 to authorize AHC to facilitate the acquisition, development, rehabilitation of the bridge and entry through refinancing and for other purposes. And Ron, you want to walk through that?
So let me give you a really quick for you. As you all know, Bent Tree was one of the very first assets we acquired. It is the only remaining asset that is under the name of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, which is not a good thing because it's exposing AHC, even though it's a non-recourse note. He's still looking. So one of the purposes of us doing this is to get it out of AHC's name and form a single-purpose entity that is 100% owned by AHC. So it'll be called the Bridge at Bent Tree, which is our call. The other interesting thing about Bent Tree is it, unlike all our other properties that escrow money for replacement reserves and repairs, this property never had that because it was just bought. The agency just bought it, and we needed something. Thomas said, go fix something. And so we were always a little nervous about using reserves on that. Thirdly, this note, which has got a balance of a little bit over $1.3 million left on it, it will be due and payable on March of 2020. So we're going to have to refinance it anyway, or pay it off. Bent Tree is in a dire need of exterior repairs, roofs, windows, siding, and we completely renovated all the interiors from cash flow. So now we're going to need to spend about a $2 million hit to go ahead and take care of the property that we have in our portfolio that has no replacement reserves that solely dedicated to it. So what I'm asking in this resolution is that I'm going to refinance the debt of 1.3 something million, and we're going to borrow with an amount not to exceed, we're still working on our costs, not to exceed a total amount of $4 million using an agency debt. The interest rate was extremely favorable right now, and our payments will not be affected, but what this will do is give us a healthy reserve for replacement so we can take care of the need. This property was built in 1978. We're going to need to do some things. We have some ADA issues we have to take care of, which are going to be quite costly. Then there's some other things that we have to take care of. We're putting those bids together, but we feel pretty good. It's going to be an amount not to exceed $2 to $2.2 million, but just to be safe and sound, and I'm asking for an amount not to exceed $4 million.
How much goes into the reserve?
100% of it, other than the 1.3, so it would be 2.0, whatever we end up with our number costs then. But it's not the total one is not going to exceed $4 million. The property's worth about $16 million right now.
Are you going to make, are you letting them make the name change as well?
We are. We are, and that's under, you know, to take necessary action to change it to the bridge at Venturi. And we'll take that through to this process to get it out of AHC's name.
What's the interest rate on the loan that comes to due next year?
Maybe a close to six. I think it's a 5.5, 5.9.
What do you anticipate the interest rate would be on the $10 million loan?
Well, we locked Lakeside at 3.4. So I'm going to assume all depends on trade with China, but I'm going to assume we're going to be somewhere in the 3.5s to 3.6 range. And this will give us the needed monies we need to take care of the property or the water. This asset's extremely valuable. It's an excellent part of town, as you know, and one of those deals is the stack in the pack. It's been one property that's been semi-neglected on the exterior. The interiors are and the exterior looks beautiful. Don't get me wrong, it's in great looking condition, but we have to really address the roofs. 100% of the roofs have to be redone. The windows are all 1970s, very, very poor efficiency. We're going to go back and add insulation. We're going to, you know, fix the siding. We're going to do some, again, ADA. We can't, there's no access to the certain things that we have to make available for ADA. And some other projects that we need to work on.
How many buildings are there?
I'm sorry?
How many buildings are in that property?
11 buildings.
Do we have any insurance on that property?
Of course.
Well, will the insurance pay for the roof?
Insurance, so, yes, if we had a hail plant.
I can't imagine that we wouldn't have.
We waited, it was one of my plans to wait 15 years. Now I've got tenants on the mill and roofs are going to get back. We've done a pretty good job, but they've certainly hit their life.
So in all the storms we've had, none of them have had an issue?
We've had issues, but we've managed to take care of the net necessary repair without replacement. But I felt very uncomfortable. I just don't do it that way. I mean, every one of our properties has healthy balances for replacement reserves, and we don't have to tap into our unrestricted cash reserves, which I... You know, and my argument is there's debt and then there's good debt. And when you're borrowing, a $4 million loan amount on a $16 million project, and the payment doesn't change your cash flows, but it also gives us some comfort, security, that we have the money there to take care of what's needed down the road, I think is the best play. If you look at that chart I gave you, we have $10 to $12 million or something sitting in replacement reserves across our portfolio. So we never have to worry about things that we need to touch down the road a lot. And this will start also in this refinance. We will also start escrowing $300 per unit, per year over the course of the next 30 years as we finance this. So it's going to start to continue to build up our replacement reserve. So we'll put it just like that.
Chair, we ask for approval of resolution number 140.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall, seconded by Commissioner Costello. All in favor, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carried.
Thank you,
Chairman. There's no executive session or open session or other reports to be given on AHC. We'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
The Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn the board meeting for the Austin Port of Harbor Corporation. So moved. Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Amasillo. Any discussion on that? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries, and we are officially adjourned at 2:50.
Thank you, Bill. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thursday, October 9th, 17th.
Great. As for Lou, we're ready to go to number six, but so we took over the Boys and Girls Clubs for today's activities, which is fun, which is great, because we wanted to bring all the kids. But I think all the kids are still playing. We're going to go outside and play, right?
Yeah.
Is anybody wanting more of the food? No, I was going to say, let's send the cookies in there.
I think the cookies are long gone. Long gone.
Grab whatever else is there. Grab it if you'd like, otherwise we'll send it out. Let's go to item number 6, which is resolution number 2617 by the Board of Commissioners to take the same actions you just approved on the AHC agenda related to the development, redevelopment and rehabilitation of the bridge at Pinchfield.
So moved. Motion by Commissioner Vanderhaus,
Senator
Costello, any further discussion?
All in favor,
signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None of the motion carries.
Item number 7 is resolution number 2618, approving the award for renewal contract for agency-wide trash disposal and recycling services for waste management of Texas. And Nora's going to give us 30 seconds.
Yeah, this is a tough act to follow. I'm not buying properties. I'm not borrowing money. It's a boring resolution, but very, very important because it keeps our properties clean. So resolution 2618 is the last annual renewal with waste management for agency-wide trash pickup and recycling to meet the city's ordinance. At every renewal, they base their increase on the consumer index annual nationwide, and it's only 1.6, which is only about less than $5,000 increase for the whole agency. So I thought that was very low, so that's good. So starting here, once we do this last contract, in a couple of months, I'll start putting it together for us to go out to do it again, because this is a long process for the trash pickup and recycling. We'll be looking at the properties to see, to make sure that we have the right number of dumpsters and the right type of dumpsters, and we'll go out for bid again sometime in the near future, so we can come back next year with the new contract.
So does the contract cover all the new properties that we
bought? It's only our properties, the 17 or 18 that we've got left over now, and all of our rental properties, like the 203 to 207, 1100, and 1124.
Any questions? With that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2618. Motion by Commissioner Alvisola, second by Commissioner Beckman Hall. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Next
is
T-Jail.
Resolution 2619 for Woodrow versus the Shadow. Which one's in about 30 seconds?
30 seconds. Good afternoon, Commissioners. The pathways and bridges to Shadow Bend, are in need of roofing replacements. The roofing there is approximately 15 to 19 years old across the site. It has an older shingle style. There have been some leaks. And in this time to replace those roofs, it's in our schedule for reserve for replacement. We have gone out for bid as appropriate for our procurement policy. We received 9 bids on the job. And we did qualify JJ Red Commercial Roofing LLC, who has provided the lowest bid, most responsible and responsive, and we request approval of that contract. Now, if you have any questions about the bidding process, I'd be happy to answer those.
Just one question.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this place located, JJ Red Commercial Roofing? Kind of out of...
They are from
DeSoto.
So it's still within reasonable distance to get the stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have no facility here in Austin.
No, not that I know.
So, Jimmy, let me just commend you all. So you have at least 9 minutes. Yeah, now for NWDs, with the market being the way it is, not having anybody want to bid on our construction subject. Good job. Any questions? Hearing none, the chairman will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2017. I have a motion by Commissioner Alvisola, second by Commissioner Beckman Hall. Any discussion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number nine is an update on the RAD program. Ann Gass is going to give us the three-minute version of it.
Great. Thanks for coming today. We're really proud to show off Chalmers. I will run through my regular slides of our 357 units worth of rehab in phase one and our 117 units worth of rehab in phase two. And just to remind you, we are about 80% converted. We will close Lakeside in the next 10 days or so. At this point, we'll be 78 units shy of a full portfolio conversion. I'm proud to say, as you've heard already, that we've got everybody moved out of Chalmers South. Goodrich moves will start right after Christmas. So we're here celebrating Chalmers South. This is wonderful, but I wanted to remind you of what we have coming next. So Chalmers South is here. Now we're moving up here. Chalmers South is 86 units, and I wanted to show you guys a comparison of the square footage. I get that question a lot. So you can see we gained close to a couple hundred square feet in each unit. I think as we heard from Mary, people are really excited with their new units. I wanted to give you a sneak peek at the renderings for Pathways at Chalmers East. So what you are looking at now is what, in about 18 months, you will see when you look right behind Mike there, right behind the flag. This is the corner of Chalmers and 3rd Street. The hope is we'll be able to close Chalmers between 3rd and 4th, so that this becomes a park area rather than a street. We're working with the city on that. This is the view from along 3rd Street here, between Chalmers and Chacon. This is what the side view of the units will look like. And this is the view from the corner of Chacon and 4th, looking down into the courtyard. This is still a work in progress, but what you can see is the basketball court. You can't see, but there's a children's playground there to the left under the trees, and a terraced big green space with picnic tables and a lot of room to be outdoors. So lots more to come on that, but we're really, really excited about Chalmers East. And I had a couple questions about the subsidy breakdown there. So we are replacing 80 PBRA units, but we've also got 50 project-based vouchers from Lisa's crop of vouchers. We have 5 that are just straight tax credit at 60% of the area median income, and we have 21 units at market. So that will be our Chalmers East subsidy breakdown. I think Mike has already teased this a little bit, but please, please plan to join us on November 7th at 10 a.m. right here at this intersection. We will be celebrating the grand opening of Chalmers South and the groundbreaking of Chalmers East. And I've got one more thing I want to show you. Is that queued up, Andrea?
It is.
This just went in yesterday. It's a little hard to see, but all of your names are on this plaque that is right outside the entrance to Chalmers South. If your names are misspelled, just don't tell me, because I won't be able to know. So you guys would be able to see, but you are all memorialized on the end of this building in bronze.
And Mary, you got to go stand out there in front of it.
And that's my
Can we go back to the very beginning with the increase in square footage for the Chalmers South?
Yes.
And you said that generally it was over 200?
Just under a couple hundred square feet.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, if you look at the three bedrooms, it's almost 600 square feet for the...
That's not right. That should say 9. That should take the three bedrooms should be 9.
Wow.
But that's still...
You almost double the size.
No, it should say 900. Sorry about that. But that's still 300 square foot bump.
Yeah.
The three bedroom is a lot bigger. The three bedroom went from a 3-bed 1-bath to a 3-bed 2-bath.
Now, my question is it going to affect the rent at all, this increase in square footage?
No.
And you're saying that the other renovations will have also larger unit space.
Yes. The plan
would it be
is,
about equal to this?
Yes, ma'am. The plan is that the size and amenities we have the same architect and the same builder over there. So we want to maintain the similar, if not exactly the same, finish and size over there.
I think that would be very important. All right, so we get more space. Get more space for the same amount of money. How do you pay for this? Is it possible?
It doesn't cost us. So the residents are still the housing authority residents. All the housing residents who moved over here paying 30% of just income in rent. So there, the subsidy came from public housing subsidy. Here, while they're relocated, the subsidy came from the housing first option program. That's the tool that brings them for relocation. Once they move back to the new Chalmers East, they can stay here. They want to keep their voucher and stay here, they can. We have some residents who want to do that. But if they move back to Chalmers East, their subsidy will be project-based rental assistance, which is the same subsidy we have at all of our other rent projects. So we're using all the tools.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot happens.
Well,
any other questions related to that? Thank you. Thanks for that. And as you can see from the kind of presentation that Ann provided, that's what we're trying to do with Austin Affordable, because we've been seeing what Ann's been presenting consistently over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to start to phase out a bit. We'll keep you updated with construction, but we're not going to be giving you probably the same regular, you know, monthly readings. So it'll look different. But you expect to see more coming from the Austin Affordable side on that similar kinds of updates.
Okay. Just make one comment. If Ann is not going to give us these presentations every month, she has to recognize the fact that some of us older individuals may not remember the details, so she might have to put them in writing for us at least quarterly. Thank you.
How are you
doing? What are you doing every month? So a couple of things I wanted to say. Let you all know, on November 7th, of course, the Chalmers opening here at this intersection, and you all are invited to host, co-host San Jose. So we'll be putting the chairman up in sort of front and center. But the plan is that we'll have Congressman Dobbin and Radler and Councilor Renteria and probably a few hundred people here at this intersection. So the plan is we're going to erect a small stage, and we'll do a ribbon cutting on this side of the property. And then we will hike across the intersection, and we'll do some kind of a groundbreaking, which we'll all turn dirt and celebrate the groundbreaking of Chalmers East. The next day, unfortunately, is our FSS luncheon, and so I'd like to invite all of you to the FSS luncheon.
Where is it
going to
be?
FSS luncheon is at the Austin Marriott South. So and each of you have the invitation. And then on November 21st is our next board meeting. Question I have for the board is, you can move back at the central office and try out the new cafeteria and catering. Or we can go to another property. It may be a good, you know, during the season when Chuck and Carl in particular don't have legislative work, there may be less legislative work. Might be nice to go down and see a property like the Asher that we've just entered into a partnership into, or one of our other properties up north. So if you all are open to that, I would propose that maybe we go to another property.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll pick an AHC property that we'll visit.
And I want to say one thing, and I meant to say it last time. Ron, I don't know if you put it together, but that booklet was perfect.
Yeah.
It had the pictures of the, it was just exactly what I needed.
The one I had was the one with the bad paper and the fuzzy pictures, Suzanne. And we had a camera on that a little bit too, but Suzanne basically.
Tyra and I both been wanting that for a long time, and that was for me just what I needed.
Carl, congratulations to Carl. He completed his term as National Chief President. Hard to underestimate just how much attention's been paid to HACA. And I've read it, you know, from eyes being on us and seeing the new things that we do because of Carl's leadership in the industry nationally and folks really associating Austin as a place that does cool things. There are other parts of the country that do a lot of cool things, but frankly, because of Carl's involvement and his activities, immediately people turn to Austin and we've got a lot of credit for a lot of things that we do. We do a lot of neat things. But thanks for putting us even more on the map. It's been exciting to do some of the things we've got to do in the last couple of years. And it's always exciting and fun to show off some of the great stuff we do. We've got to do some of that this past weekend for folks here in the States, but also some for international visitors as well. But thanks for your leadership. It's been huge.
Well, thank you all. Thank you.
and I really I mean that sincerely. Without your support, I couldn't have done all the things I've been able to do. It's been fun for me. It's been a fun 4 years as a senior vice president and as president, traveling around the country, visiting with folks, meeting with folks, getting ideas. Also, not only that, but being a Mopaca. You know, I've always felt like we are a leader, have been a leader for quite some time, and it was a great opportunity for me to tell our story about all the things that we do, both from an operations standpoint, also from our board. I think we've got one of the best boards in the country. People marvel at the fact that we've got two lawyers. Most people don't like lawyers. An educator, someone who's run a state housing association, someone who has been a teacher at NARO, and someone who really knows this industry. And then they saw, got a chance to meet Mary and just see how engaged he is as a resident commissioner. For a lot of the executive directors, having a board like ours would be a joy, because a number of folks who I've met with over the years have said, you know, they almost have to, in some cases, check the pulse of their board members, or slap them and make sure they're awake. Or, you know, the opposite side of that is that I'll never forget this. This one commissioner, was one executive director, came to me and gave me this is the letter size of a legal piece of paper, front and back, with all the demands that her commissioners were making on her. And I said, if I were you, because she was asking me for help, I said, if I were you, I would resign. I would not have a board that would micromanage me in the way they're doing it. And there's a delicate balance. Mike and I kind of go around at times because he leads the agenda. There are times, like on the day I was happy to lead, and other times I want him to be a little quiet so we can have this time and have a discussion among ourselves. But it's a delicate balance. The other thing is that we are a great team, both with the board, the management, and also working with our residents. And so, you know, for me, it's been great to be able to go out and talk about what we are able to do. And also, it was funny having this sort of balance last year, the fact that we were so great. What I mean by that was Ed Winna was the commissioner here. He got the Luther B. Wells Memorial Award. Simultaneously, Mike gets the Herman Award, which is the highest award that you can get in NARO. It's so high that they even give you $1,000. I told Mike, don't tell his kids about it. $1,000. But I had to, you know, negotiate, because they said, well, wait a minute, why are we, you know, having you as president and then having two people from your agency receive the top awards? And I said, look, there was no collusion. You can't take away from somebody the great things they've done. You can't say, well, let's hear to give one next year and give one this year. I said that would be unfair to folks who were applying next year, because they were already out of the game. So I fought hard, and it worked out. I was not on stage, so they wouldn't have the appearance.
You know, it was embarrassing.
But it was an embarrassment of riches. It is what it is. We are blessed to have so much talent among this agency, folks who work well together. I tell folks within NARO and other agencies I go to, part of being successful is you've got to have talent. And we are blessed to have very talented, very bright individuals. And the great thing is we all play well in the sandbox. And you don't always get that with very bright people. You have a lot of type A personalities, and somebody, they always have to lead. And part of being as their leader is being also knowing when it's time to step back and be a follower and be a team player. Let me give a special thanks to Nydia, who had to work with me on travel. Getting travel packets, meeting people, or bugging her about whether I could go to this event, and whether I was coming, whether I was had declined, and trying to balance all that out. So I really appreciate that, Nydia. And it's just been fun. The last thing we were able to do is two significant things that I'm really excited about that we were able to broker, and that was one, the $1 million scholarship. That was a result of our relationship with the LDG. So it wasn't just me, but it was Mike and the Hopper team working well with them. and that paid off dividends for NARA. I think it's the largest donation that any nonprofit in our space has ever received. And the other one was I had pledged when I ran, I wanted to restart Tri-Country. I had the opportunity to go to Scotland, to go to Canada and see and learn about how they do their development over there. And I wanted to do that here. Initially, Adrian wanted to go there, and we agreed to do it. She wanted to go to New York and do it at the UN, and I thought that would be great. But I just thought, you know, I really wanted us to be here. And when the folks from Carlson property talked about what we were going to do here, I kind of put my foot down and said, no, we're coming to Austin. And so we were able to do it. In fact, I was checking my phone with something else, and I just got an email from Jeff Morrison, who said the Canadian Housing and Redevelopment Association, and he was so excited. He was saying thank you and everything. He said they have put an item on their agenda for them to host in 2021. He's inviting us to come to someplace next year to their conference, a place I've never heard of in Canada. But they have this item on the agenda. He's talked to us for two, he thinks it will pass. But I think it's important for us to have these international discussions. One of the reasons why I thought it was important was I learned a lot when I went to Tri-Country. It was the first time I had my eyes open to immigration, because in immigration in Great Britain, they do it completely different. I mean, you have family, most of them are political asylum seekers coming from North Africa. And you have family come, they send one to Wales and next to Scotland, so they don't have a concentration of poverty. But all the issues they dealt with sort of opened my eyes up and said housing is just more than the roof. You know, I'd already known it, but I saw it in a completely different dimension. The other thing I thought was important is it gives us the opportunity to learn from one of our colleagues, a guy by the name of Rick Gentry, who Rick actually was here. He ran this housing authority for a number of years back in the 80s, and now he's out in San Diego. But Rick got called to testify before Congress on some housing proposals. And one of the members asked him about why can't you all do it like they do in Great Britain. And Rick, in a very eloquent manner, articulated the difference between our models and their models. And sort of dispelled this notion that we can do everything like the other folks around the world can do it. So for me, that was important. It's important for us to have these discussions, these dialogues. Because while we do great things here, we can always learn there's a better way to do it. I'm always fond of not recreating the wheel, but taking somebody else's idea and seeing how we can improve on it and make it work for us. So with all that, I just want to say thank you for the bottom of my heart. It's been great. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to spending more time getting deep into our business. But I couldn't have done it without your support, allowing me to travel and miss a few meetings here and there. And so with that, I just want to say thank you. I want to say a big thank you to my good friend, Chuck Bailey, for on Sunday night. He gave a great oral history on the Texas politics. Our folks were, especially the folks from outside of Texas, they were very entertaining. They really enjoyed it, and they really enjoyed you. Your humor, your demeanor, and so they learned a lot. So here's a good way to sort of round out and finish out my term as president. So thank you for that.
And you had all five of your commissioners there on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a show.
Yeah.
We had a forum.
Yeah.
Good thing we didn't all sit at the same table.
We should clear some of this business then. So one other thing happened last week that our position for all finishing his term is the most prestigious committee, I would argue, at NARO is the Housing Committee. That is the committee that oversees the review of policies and proposals coming from HUD and from the administration. They have the hard discussions with some of the biggest professionals, strongest professionals in the industry. It's a tough group of people. It's 35, 40 people sitting around and really working through it and mashing and working over those issues. Lisa Garcia was selected as chairman for this next few year period, so we're really excited. So if things you want to change or things you want her to hustle in the housing committee, Nara, let her know, and she wanted to
take that under advisement.
So I want to say, you know, congratulations, Lisa. That's a huge deal. You know, three big committees, housing, professional development, and then the committee in my chair, which is LegNet. They're huge. So your committee is sort of the big policy committee. You'll be spending a lot of time on the phone with the NARO policy staff. I'll probably be wanting you to visit with the HUD policy staff and chief congressional staffers, because they do a lot of work. The staff really looks to them, especially when HUD is cranking out all these comments. They're going to be leaning on you to convene conference calls to get folks so that the NARO committee, the membership, has had some input before they actually write these comments and send them off to HUD and argue over them. So you're going to be busy. So good luck with all that you've got coming for it. You're a very capable person. I know you're going to do a great job in that role. And so, again, you know, we're blessed with talent, and we are, you know, seeing doing things in a variety of different aspects of NARO. So, I think are you on the commission committee? I think you'll end up on there before it's all said and done. But yeah, it's been a great run. And we'll still be engaged and still have fun. And
we also continue to be involved in CLAFA, which is the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities. It's sort of the biggest 150 agencies in the country. And HACA is kind of the smaller, on the smaller side of the biggest agency that we play, probably a little bit above our weight, but that's okay. So he's been very active there for many years. And I kind of followed the boss with working more closely with NARO. But I'm actually going to participate a little more engaged with CLAFA. I think there's a lot of important discussions that happen there, and I think it's a little bit more focused around some of the issues that we work on. So actually, Sylvia and I are going up next week to the CLAFA meeting, their fall conference that will be held in D.C., which will leave Lisa Garcia in charge while we're gone. So
raise the roof.
Throw the keys, yeah. So we're excited. But we'll let you know about the location of the next board meeting in the next couple of days after we identify where we're best handle that. And thanks for spending the day with us.
Did the CLAFA organize like NARO?
Yeah. Their meetings, everybody, one day when they do committees, and so we're on the committee, and then they have one day when everybody just gets together, everybody here in the same room. So 100 and a couple hundred people in a room together. It's actually one of the strengths of their CLAFA, for a little bit more discussion. It's you have to kind of wait through a process and sort of wait for them to have a committee. People earn these positions. We'll have to extend the room with them. Everyone's engaged in the discussion. We're all kind of everyone's got to learn together. It's very focused on the issues that these agencies are facing. And some of the agencies, I mean, I remember when I was my first class meeting, Dan Santoni, I got invited by the head of Dan Santoni, the Housing Authority, Florida Staff for this. She invited me down. I went to this meeting, and I got invited to the lunch, and they sat at a great table. And I'm sitting there with the head of the Detroit Housing Authority. The guy who at that time proceeded to show the New York City Housing Authority and the Boston Housing Authority. And Jerry from El Paso was there, and several other folks. And I was there, and the question was, you know, what, something like, what keeps you awake at night? And discuss amongst yourselves. So they went around the room, and my jaw just blew off listening to the horrible things that were happening. And I got no problems. We had no problems. So some of the issues are not as relatable. I mean, we have very little in common with the New York City Housing Authority. But there was somebody who said, you know, when NYCHA catches a cold, the rest of the industry gets. Gets something horrific, and so we got to be very mindful about what happens to these other agencies, like Puerto Rico and LA, Early Housing Authority, Chicago Housing Authority. They comprise a huge percentage of the million one units that are out there and have disproportionate influence. And so we need to make sure that that our interests are protected, and we still be as flexible as we need to do the things we want to do. Understand that they've got financial problems.
tackle those problems, but we do want to take advantage of flexibility like that and do other cool things. One of the things that I was just mentioning, by way of being able to show off a little bit, we're kind of done with the conferences and the workshops, and visitors coming for a while, which is good. I think we're got a little bit of, after November 7th, we got a little bit of tour and visitor fatigue right now. But we did get a high honor coming soon. We've been active in a group called the RAD Collaborative, which is all the agencies around the country who are doing RAD. And we're perceived as being, one of the best agencies. A few agencies around the country who have a full portfolio conversion. So the RAD Collaborative meets three times a year, twice a year. And they've asked us to host the next conference. It'll be here if we can get a hotel. In February, early February or early March. We're still working on that. Late February, probably.
Yeah, the last week of February or the first of March, because that's, of course, budding up against South by Southwest.
Yeah. Posing some challenges.
Well, late February, you're... The one good thing about it is the basketball tournaments have gone to San Antonio. That was sort of one of the issues. And why they went to San Antonio, because they were butting up against South by Southwest and the rooms were just too expensive for high school. And that's when the rodeo would be in town, but,
basketball
was a big deal. Yeah, the basketball was a big deal. You had all the different divisions, then you had the boys, you had the girls, and so it provides a little bit more relief, and then also you have more capacity with the Fairmont having come online now, and then again the JW came online a couple years ago. So you've got a little bit more. You have a little bit more capacity to do that.
So heads up for the next board meeting. I'm going to invite all of you to come earlier into the 10:30 program review committee. You're going to receive the audit at noon. But at 10:30, we're going to ask our auditors at Berman Hopkins to talk about our audit, but more importantly, give you all a little course that they taught at NARO called Audit and Accounting Basics for Commissioners, things you all need to know so you're looking at the right numbers and can evaluate management and evaluate agency performance. So we'll do that from that 10:30 to whenever window, and then we'll move into a formal discussion of the audit. So anticipate that, and as you put it in your calendar, some discussion.
I went to a really good session Clifton Larson Allen did on five things to not, if you want to be on the front page of the newspaper with your housing authority, these are five things you don't want to do. They were both, they're accountants. They were both very entertaining, very relevant. It was really, really a good session. I don't know that I learned anything new, but it was a great refreshment.
This should be a good discussion. It's hard to, wade through the thing. And I think, our auditor, we've got a very gifted auditor, Brian Emeloff, and Sean Cedar. Yeah, so between the two of them, I think we can really. Brian is actually a commissioner at a housing authority in Florida. And they've represented agencies from, Atlanta and several cities in Florida, and then presenting the material and y'all should know that.
Another thing that I find valuable is just reviewing the internal report that you guys have to present to the auditors, because that's a very excellent briefing of the whole year's activity, et cetera. And when you determine what you consider important, and we get to agree or not agree with that.
Just a little bit. It's because it is important. To some extent, we in that draft. I would say it's management propaganda, but we put our explanation in there of how we want the outside world to see it. So we're thinking about investors and others. My hope is that what I'm hoping we'll get to is you'll see some of the risk that you're really focusing on that, and that doesn't look right. That's that, and I'm hoping we can correlate it to the I was here. You know, Martha provides a great report every month, mm-hmm. and I think it's important to, you know, because things are leaner, things under rent, things are leaner, things are tighter, things are changing, and you know, and I think you'll see staff responding to that. Martha's kind of leading that. We've had some struggles with, you know, with as we convert to rent, with what finance really looks like, and you know, I think we need all the. So we're going to invite you all to forgive the term, step it up a little bit on your understanding of the finances of the agency, because I think it's really important for you all in terms of providing oversight. But just things to be excited about.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us.
Great, we have to adjourn.
If anyone like you, we'll see you in a unit.
We have to adjourn first. We have to adjourn.
So the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. A motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Costillo. All in favor, signify by saying aye. We are adjourned at 3:28 p.m.
You're welcome.
How are we doing?